specific podcast.
There's a lot riding on this podcast.
No, you said that.
I said that.
All you said that.
All right. Said that. There's a lot. I seen anticipation threads for this podcast.
The build, yeah.
The build.
Yeah, yeah.
What episode number is this
one? You know, it's a shame we've got to go through this.
It is.
You know?
The song and dance.
We don't even talk no more. We don't even kiss. This is episode 112.
112?
Of the Super Best Friend Cast. And go ahead, Liam, ask me. Ask the question.
What's your esoteric fact about the number 112?
Well, I'll have good, you know good. That 112 is actually the emergency contact number in most European countries.
What? And I wouldn't have known that.
All the European countries that end in, like, IA.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, IA.
Like all the little countries you don't
you
care
dial,
about.
Yeah, you
like
dial.
Like the Eastern Bloc.
You dial 112 instead of 911.
That's confusing. I would have burned alive.
Countries burned alive. Such as Albania, Andorra,
Albania.
Austria, Lithuania, Australia, etc.
Australia,
et
really? Wow.
Right next to the Seychelles.
Right next to it, yeah. Exactly.
Malaysia, Macedonia, Macau.
Okay, Malaysia is not in Eastern Europe.
And guess what? Guess
there's
what?
Australia.
Guess what?
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 If you dial 112 in Canada,
yeah,
it redirects to 911.
Oh, what? Really?
Because there's
know
so many
that.
Europeans.
Because some people might not
so,
know.
So many Europeans from Australia.
I had no idea.
I would imagine.
How about that esoteric fact?
That's a good
so
fact
actually,
for the week.
I remember
112.
I remember when I was a little kid, when I was 5 or 6, there was a commercial on TV about 911. I asked my mom about it. Apparently, right prior to when we were little kids, like right. There was no 911, and then the Americans started doing it,
mm-hmm.
and then we picked it up because we all watched American
TV. It seemed
TV,
like a good idea.
And
at
everyone
the time.
Was fucking dialing it. But it used to be you had to actually just call your police
call the
station.
Sheriff. Call
you
the sheriff.
You'd have to call the hospital.
Yeah,
hospital.
911 is way better.
Damn.
112 also. That's a good one too.
Yeah, back in the days when there was no yellow fucking light and it was just red into green into red.
That's
like
every day in Montreal.
112 in Australia is the default number that whenever you pick up a phone in that nation,
yeah.
it just goes with
yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's the problem?
Yeah.
Have you been bitten by anything?
You pick up the phone and until you prove you're not calling
oh.
your mom, it automatically calls the emergency.
Oi, Prime Minister!
Yeah, yeah.
Andy!
Governor!
Oi, mates!
That's the wrong
thing. That's
Cockney.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the wrong
one. Malaysia's part of Europe. Yeah, you learn something new every day.
Well, Malaysia is built into the Seychelles.
That's correct.
It's a bloody outrage, it is.
Luxembourg, Mauritius, Panama,
Mauritius.
Pakistan.
Mauritius
Poland.
Is a tiny island nation off the east coast of Africa, if I remember correctly.
I never knew
yeah.
that.
Next
yeah, I had some friends in high school that were from Mauritius. They're nice people.
Is that like near Madagascar? Or?
Yeah, so, something like that.
Okay.
A lot of non-European countries, too.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I wonder why. Amazing. I wonder why it became 911 or 112.
In fact,
911.
Holy shit! This list is insanely huge.
So, are you saying we're the odd
Egypt.
Ones out?
We're the odd ones out.
Huh.
Some American, some American
attacked by Ric Flair.
Some American carriers also redirect.
So what?
Huh.
So
okay.
Wooly, what you're saying is that if you're having a podcast emergency, just tune in to podcast 112
to learn.
To
yeah,
learn,
to learn.
That
about the number.
To learn
good,
that this won't help.
You're having a good time now. Listening to our podcast. Hey everyone, welcome
in.
To our podcast. You're gonna have a good time.
Dial the number in, and 112 black guys will show up right at your door.
They'll help.
Oh, they will help.
112?
112 of them.
That's a lot of black guys.
They'll
that's
show
like,
up at your house to break up with you.
Because
it's over now.
But Netflix and chill, though.
Netflix and chill with 112 black dudes.
That would be the best weekend
that
ever.
That is the ultimate chill.
Yeah.
You guys see that video when you take anime too seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Like it wasn't inside enough.
But
it's
like, so, like,
yeah,
it's like so long ago. Like,
yeah,
it's
exactly.
Yes, but
new.
They get
yeah.
discovered by the mainstream.
No,
yes,
exactly.
Yes.
It's like pop sure. music.
More importantly, motherfuckers, there's water on Mars.
Can I swim in it, though?
It's salty.
I was,
can I swim in it?
I was
it's
waiting.
Salty, so
was,
yes.
No, it's, now,
all the flavors in
Liam,
the universe,
Liam,
and
please.
They chose to make it salty.
Liam, you're like quiet,
so
you can roll around in that shit
well,
and
exactly.
just wet yourself up
just
and you'll
absorb
be fine.
It all.
Absorb that salt.
Yeah.
Ah.
So I was wondering which one of you was going to hit Mars first, you or you. Good
yeah.
for you, Wooly.
You did
it.
You took it.
So
did you tune into the live stream?
I did not. No.
They're fucking on Ustream.
Yeah,
NASA's old school. They don't even know.
I feel
up.
Like we are 5 to 10 years from a guy in a suit getting up. And is like, by the way, so we found some germs, and then everyone's going to go crazy.
Yeah,
well, because here's the thing. It's like, all right, Are you bringing back samples? Yes. When do I get my symbiote suit?
Yeah.
Later, like, or now?
No, see, you have to be the son of J. Jonah Jameson and make a mission to Mars, then come back. Like, that's when
that's how you pull that.
Or participate in the secret wars, like which Willie's always been planning to do.
It's on the bucket list.
It's always been one of those far-flung, like, it's astronomical theories that it's possible that human life actually originated on Mars and got blown off that planet by a snicked meteorite, which is one of those meteorites that has organic matter in them.
Yeah.
Because we have a bunch of those. It's not goo, but it's pretty close to goo, right?
It's gooey enough.
So if they find one germ on that fucking planet,
yeah,
then all of a sudden it's like, uh-oh, are we even Terrans?
Yeah.
but at the rate we're going, though, it might not even matter, because let's not forget that we're already in the middle of the infinite Tsukuyomi.
That's correct.
The Sharingan in the sky has begun.
So guess who went the most nuts about that? One D. James Goddard, who said, the Warrior's Moon!
Yeah.
The Weapon Lord has drawn forth.
It's all coming.
He loved it.
It's all coming to a head.
Ultimate Warrior, rest your soul, the Blood Red Moon.
Did you see that CNN like screenshot? It's of like
no.
It's the infinite Tsukuyomi has begun, and it's just this terrifying photo of a Sharingan bearing down on Earth.
God,
and it's like Ichigo and Goku has been called in as reinforcements.
No, Ichigo was a good guy all along.
And Bufu Special Forces say Sakura's being helpful.
I think my favorite was that one guy on on V last night who posted a thread and said, I'm super drunk and I looked at the moon, what's happening? And there's a picture. And the first post is, did you play Bloodborne? And then ostensibly the same guy says, I'm so scared right now.
Make contact.
Yeah, exactly.
Pizza.
It's so what you're saying is we discovered water on Mars and the heavens told us no.
Yeah, exactly.
There's water bad.
Uchiha Itachi's plans are coming to a head.
You stay on Earth, you fuck.
So we also
takes over Itachi, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Then what?
Then he uses the Black Sun Jutsu on Jiraiya's dead butthole or whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
So we all saw the red moon, right?
I did not see it.
Okay.
I saw it.
Did you notice?
I saw it because you texted me and everyone in the room after you left.
Yo, go check that shit out.
Yo, look at the moon.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we heard someone outside go, yo.
Exactly.
Did you know after the moon, it was like an ultra moon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the moon was at its closest to the Earth at that point?
Yeah.
I was trying to sleep and it was like fucking daytime outside. Like,
mm-hmm. You got a super
unbearable.
Moon.
It was awesome.
Well,
it was
because
awesome.
The Yagami clan must be reborn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And what better way to summon the Karis?
I saw lots of people just going like, oh man, lots of people bloodbending tonight.
Yeah.
It's the most powerful.
All of it. Bruce Almighty is on a date. Yeah. Like, everything's happening.
I had a horrible moment like during that Blood Moon phase in which I discovered too much about myself as a person, in which I was playing FF14 and people were going, dude, you gotta look outside! There's the Blood Moon! It's crazy! Yeah. And I, like, literally, like, looked over to my window, noticed I couldn't see it from where I was sitting, and just said, eh. No, it's only once every 29 years!
I was gonna say, you'll see it again in 2030-something.
But I want to mine these rocks now.
Even Nintendo
these
was like...
rocks.
That's correct.
Nintendo was like, yeah, watch out for if it has a face and whatnot. Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny.
That's funny, yeah. Nintendo.
Nintendo's Twitter.
Not quite the Sonic the Hedgehog
Nintendo, you guys are a hilarious guy. Yes.
God, that Cranky Kong phase on that Twitter. Ugh.
It's a fucking... It's a roller coaster ride of epic proportions.
I hope that Twitter account is put into a time capsule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, in 50 years, someone's going to look back
the
on
Sonic
it.
The Sonic or Nintendo?
The Nintendo one. Because it's so much more like...
I hope that the person running that Twitter account has a mental breakdown and goes all the way, and then Sega tries to fire them but can't get the account back. That's what I want.
Because the person has it signed to
them. Just like, no,
just
locked down. No, I'm Sonic for real.
They have to take legal actions to stop it, yeah.
Or I want the next Sonic game to just be a Twitter feed of that.
Sonic's Twitter Sonic adventure.
Twitter.
Yeah, that'd be solid.
Get those hashtags.
That's a concept there.
That's good.
That's
good.
Money. You see Namco Europe's Twitter today, where they put out a tweet that said, "For everyone asking about localizations, we hear you all." And then, like, one of the first responses is, "What about Tales of Vesperia PS3? And they respond, "Not that one, though."
That boat is... That boat, always sailed.
That boat has sailed so long ago.
I forget, like, what was it that... it was some PlayStation blog post from, like, a month ago that you and I were laughing at, or the very... like, it was some about fucking whatever, and the very first post is like, "What about Revelations 2 on the Vita?"
Yeah, it was just completely like, unrelated
these
post.
People
yeah.
exist out there that it's like, I'm just going to ask every single time.
Every single
I'm
time.
Just gonna, just like, hey,
nothing's going
to
happen.
What about the thing that I want? I don't care if it's 15 years old.
When are you going to play Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm?
I don't know. You should ask yourself that question.
I saw the best post, that an On and Until Dawn post, that said, "Fuck this, where's Until Dawn?" And I'm not sure if it was like,
"That's great,
this is funny," or the guy just did
no,
not
it's,
look.
It's
that's
the,
an
no,
underrated
no,
comment.
No, it's, yeah, the, it is. It's yeah. the robot that guy created to downvote
to,
those
to
videos.
Downvote
like,
every
fucked
video.
Up.
Downbox.
Why do those exist? Is that
aside,
just hate?
Aside from Blood Red Moons, what else did Wooly?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I can.
You,
all right.
Yeah. What you do, man? Hey,
okay.
Man.
Well,
hey, man, what you do?
Something that I've been meaning to do for a while. I finally started The Sopranos.
Oh, right, you actually are doing that.
Yeah, because I always
wanted to do a thing.
Now that
you were like, "Let me watch Sopranos first."
Now that Matt's getting married, you don't want to accidentally make some kind of social faux pas.
No,
or you could forego the show and just hang around with me for a few months, and you'll get all the Sopranos you need.
So there's a giant steel Jesus.
I got a knot.
I was literally with
a
guy that was someone poked me and said, "That's the guy."
Yeah.
Anyway.
I gotta not be the Wuling Yan to
yeah,
this family.
That's right.
You know, but no, that like that was just something that was on the air. That was like when I was fucking grade 7, or you know what
yeah,
I mean.
And none of us.
And
had
it was like
channels.
This looks really good, but I can't have these titties on screen flipping around while my mom is walking by.
No, of course,
it's not gonna fly. So now that I'm a grown-ass man...
And you can't watch it with them, because that's even worse.
I still can't have those titties flopping around the screen. Because
you never know when your mom could just bust in.
You don't know what you're messing with, Will.
You don't know what you're messing with.
What am I messing with, Mom? Anyway.
But...
I hate the son in The Sopranos so much. I hate that kid's face. I feel bad. But anytime... even when he grew up over the course of
like
the show...
Like, even just his appearance?
I'm sorry. I don't usually have that
no,
reaction
that's fine.
With people.
Like,
but I always hated him. I never cared when he
what,
was on
what
the
he's
show.
Got
every time I saw his side stories at a glance, it was always annoying. But starting from the beginning, I liked them all.
Okay.
It's good. Nice. You can see why the show fucking is considered like legendary.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
amazing. It's a great-ass show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like one season in like 2 days or so. It's like,
I'm
booking it.
You're patting it.
There you go. Any of you guys finished BoJack season 2 yet?
I haven't even started.
I need to start one day.
Okay.
I have 3 episodes to go.
All I gotta say is like the cringe factor, dude.
Good.
You said that last time.
No.
Are you saying it's even escalating?
Did you finish it? Or?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Need some sour cream.
The cringe that you had at the end of season 1... is fucking tiddlywinks.
Zero cringe at
it
the
is
end of season
one. I don't know, like, the season one, like, episode 3 or 4, where he's making out with the girl from the show, and, like, Todd gets, like, dragged in.
Yeah.
That's probably the worst moment from the first season.
Yeah, no.
So, how many of those?
We're going 13. A 13
good,
on
good,
10
good,
level
good.
Cringe.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I want.
So you're just, like, crying and hiding from the TV and, like, being happy...
me and the girlfriend had to, like, have a conversation afterwards, because it was like, okay.
Why did you laugh at that?
Ooh.
What does that mean?
Ooh. Yeah.
Do you have the problem that I have that when you run into that stuff, you compulsively just, your arm just lashes out and hits pause?
I don't look.
No.
I don't look. That doesn't help.
Or
do you
have the fortitude to just be like,
no, you gotta keep watching.
No, it's you keep it going.
You unplug your mouse and you let it go to
your
the
eyes.
End.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
And just let your teeth hurt.
Like, when cringe hits me really hard, I look down at the floor and I listen and I just go, I can't believe I'm watching this.
Mm-hmm. I watched the Chris Rock movie Top 5. It's funny, it has comedians in it, but it accidentally turns into a rom-com at the last, like...
Accidentally.
At the 13th hour.
Whoops, I made a rom-com.
As we've all discussed, if you want to watch your rom-com, start at rom-com episode one.
It's been a fucking while since I've watched the thing where it just accidentally, oops, rom-com.
Oops, wrong genre.
Was McConaughey there? Oops, all rom-com.
No. Okay.
And it's, I was like,
he's usually the harbinger of the accidental rom-com.
Yeah.
True Detective? That was crazy.
Well, you didn't watch the end, did you?
Or, what's his name? Wolverine.
Yeah, that's great.
Hugh Jackman?
Yeah, he's been doing a couple of those, and then the Broadway stuff as well.
Yeah.
Not so much.
He did a rom-com or two.
He did.
I don't remember any.
He was in Kate and Leopold.
And I think he's
in a rom com.
No, that is straight up a rom com.
He's got the back to back.
He's from the past. He's a knight. The future.
He's no like Owen Wilson, Vince Vaughn.
Yes,
like mashup. Yes. But he's up there.
No,
right?
Like, Owen Wilson, Vince Vaughn are like your fucking creepy skeezy rom com.
Yeah, but they're there.
Right?
But they're the one
because everyone wants to make the movie that the guys are going to enjoy, but you still take your lady.
And it's like, hey, Owen Wilson, please
don't even try.
Nose out of the way so I can see the titties.
No
further.
The last time I got hoodwinked like that, I think was Run Fat Boy Run, where it's like,
you go in thinking
it's gonna be
Simon Pegg
movie.
And it's not.
And he's in love with Money Penny from the New Jersey.
It's fucking
totally. No, that's the girl from Mission Impossible.
And it's not until fucking Bar One.
She's kind of got older though.
At World's End.
It's not until At World's End where they pull that one back. Yeah.
Fuck, man. Anyway,
it's not just Run Fat Boy Run. It's how to make friends or how to lose friends and alienate people.
Oh, is that another one?
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
I don't even know.
Be honest about your romance, guys.
Run, Fat Boy, Run was directed by David Schwimmer.
Well,
so that's fucking weird.
Interesting.
That explains everything.
It's the commercials. There's always the rom-com commercial, but then there's the comedy version commercial.
Yeah.
And then the humor commercial.
Yeah.
And then
it's not rom-com, but I've mentioned it in the past. I'm going to keep mentioning it until one of you knows what I'm talking about. You go watch the theatrical trailer for The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Oh, they didn't know how to market that thing.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Holy shit. I've never seen a bigger lie of an ad.
What do they do?
The Talented Mr. Ripley is painted as if it's Jude Law.
So what is that movie?
It's Jude Law and
Matt Damon.
And Matt Damon.
I think.
And Leonardo DiCaprio, I think.
Gwyneth Paltrow?
Whatever.
Anyway.
Point is, Mr. Ripley, he's a talented guy, and they paint it as like, oh, these rich white people, and there's the guy with the girl. But then the new guy, Ripley's like, oh, that girl, though.
Mm.
And then it's implied that there's like, uh-oh, he did just a shady thing. And, oh, what happened? It's a mystery. I don't want to spoil any part of that. Every part of the description I just gave you was a lie.
Okay.
Every single fucking part of it. Fuck it. The primary thing is that Ripley is gay.
Okay.
So it has nothing to do
with his desire
for Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah, it's something completely different.
And it ends up, it's closer to like Hannibal than it is to like a drama.
Yeah, that's pretty far.
And it's way, and they were like terrified. It was like, well, the villain can't be a gay guy who wants to do it with dudes. People won't go watch it.
Yeah,
and they were right. People didn't go watch it.
Have you seen that, like the Happy Family movie, Shining?
Yeah,
the trailer for that.
That,
or like the what was it, West Side Story as like a violent serial suspense thriller. You know?
Those are good.
Yeah, fucking, you could turn Dragon Tattoo into the most sappy love story.
I think you could.
If you take the right cuts,
you take the right cuts and you change the color.
It's a lot. No, the flashback sequences are all shot in like sepia happy
tone.
So
just use that.
So you use a lot of that,
mm-hmm.
and then you use a lot of like the farm area, but like the city area.
There's a lot of footage for the lovemaking scene.
There's got to be one good shot from the farm.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway.
Everything's all grungy anyway.
Anyway. No, but I finally got to, I guess, the first big twist in Until Dawn, and oh my god, that fixes everything.
Right.
That was super good.
The first big twist. That one?
The first big twist.
Okay, that's a big one.
We can talk about that first twist.
No, people might not
be
watching the
spoiler cast next week.
Who's not watching the LP?
Some people will
do a spoiler cast next week. The LP will be completely finished. We'll put it at the end of the podcast.
Okay.
Well, if I get it, let me beat it.
It
depends on when my girlfriend comes over. Like, we were playing it together.
Tell her to come over.
I'm trying. Anyway,
well, text her right
now. It's a good
twist.
Less
than half left.
It, like, all the things I was.
You're not, like, two-thirds in if you got
the two mild complaints I had last time.
Gone.
Fucking
I told you, right?
Evaporated.
Yeah.
Because when you were complaining about them slightly, like, a few weeks ago, you were all by our tongue, like, oh, this gets fixed.
Yeah, I know.
In fact, the complaint you're having now will make it better later.
Yeah.
So that's solid. I started Undertale, and that is a joy. and a pleasure.
I hear it's a good game.
It's
fun game.
It's hilarious. It's fucking great. More to be said once I'm done.
Okay.
But,
isn't it like 2 seconds?
I remember it's 5 hours.
Okay.
I remember Slow Beef just telling me, burn down all your other videos.
Yeah. Well,
thanks, Slow Beef.
Slow Beef and 800 other people on the internet, mm-hmm. friends and fans alike. So, you know, took a look, and yeah, man, that's got some funny stuff going on.
Yeah.
And I'm finally at a point where I'm comfortable saying I'm done with the Phantom Pain.
You're finished.
So
I might go back in the future.
Because I'm like, I could get to 100%, but I've seen all the original content.
You've done Mission 46, you're all...
All of that, okay. Right? The special extra missions.
Yeah, yeah.
I built a nuke. I decommissioned a nuke.
Good.
I invaded FOBs. I got all in there and out there and saw the whole thing. And yeah, man.
Yep.
That's still...
It's hard
that's
to a video game.
That's a video game.
What's your playtime?
I don't know, dude.
It says.
But it's inaccurate because I've left it on.
Ah, don't do that! Ah, it's the worst!
You gotta play it good.
This is a game where, no, you're gonna do that.
I hate that.
We're not gonna do that.
Well, too bad. No.
I was turned
off. We're not. I'm just curious.
And I've been switching back and forth between the thing, like, so frequently that it doesn't make sense for me to turn it off. I'll turn it on, do a mission, put it down, go back, watch a thing, put it back
up. I just asked what the playtime was.
No, I'm
too,
because he's like, don't do that. I'm like, no, I had good reason.
No, everything has to have its proper time slot and then be properly, fuck it, I'm crazy.
Anyway. yeah, it still sits where I said it did, but...
Which is?
I
think we had that off camera.
No.
No.
Oh, we didn't have that
talk? No, we discussed, sure. Yeah. Okay.
So right at the bottom, right?
No. Yeah. It's fourth. You know?
What's the
fourth of six?
I assume you mean console games.
Okay.
Actually, like...
Number titles.
And I assume you're rolling Ground Zeroes.
I'm not counting
Peace Walker.
Peace Walker, because I didn't play it proper. I just watched the cutscenes.
And you're rolling Ground Zeroes and Phantom Pain together, I imagine?
Yes. I'm rolling them together. And oh my god, does it fix some good shit. Anyway... those being considered one entry, I say 3, 1, 4, 5.
2.
Wow, 2 is really low. Okay.
Whoa, 2 is that low for you? Yeah. I didn't think it was.
But what's the score for 2? It's a 9.
2 is great. But here's right, the thing. Here's the thing. The main reason why 2 is that low for me compared to all the rest is because the end of a Metal Gear game is always a bombastic affair.
Yeah.
And... Like, the end of 1, 3, and 4 in particular are, like, beyond perfect. The end of 2, I thought, was great, but nowhere near as good as the
end of 2 is amazing.
The ending of 2 is like one of the strongest in the entire series.
I didn't have that feeling on it. But I still enjoyed it, but just compared to the others.
Do you remember it?
Of course!
Did you get it?
Of course!
You get a sword and you swing it.
Yes! And that's really cool.
I don't like to, like,
you're fighting the president of the United States in a sword battle.
Yes! And the third dude in Solidus and all that stuff.
Okay.
But compared to the things going on in the other three, it didn't hit me as
well. This is the most, we'll actually have to agree to disagree ever. Because, like, blew my mind so much harder.
It blew my mind in a way where I remember it took a while for me to, like, to digest it. Because
second playthrough for me.
At the time, I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah,
and then I ended it, and I was like, that was dumb.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wait. And then I went through it, and I was like, okay, no. I accept this, and I like this.
So that's the difference.
But I grew to accept it, as opposed to being like...
That's the difference, is that when it starts to all fall apart and go crazy, that's my favorite thing. Is that I'm looking at it, and I go, what?
And I've grown
what
to...
What is this?
I've grown to appreciate it way more.
It's the same sentence, but with a different tone.
Yeah. It's the, you know, I swung the other way on that pendulum.
Did this game even happen?
You
look inside your disc tray, there's nothing in there.
No, like, right now, I think that Peace Walker and Phantom Pain are the only two, and Ground Zeroes, are the only ones where I would never think of putting them in first, even at all. Mm-hmm. We haven't finished Phantom Pain.
Nope, we haven't.
We're still,
ongoing.
I think, a bit less than halfway through.
I believe we're just about to reach halfway.
Yeah. But, like... Even 4, I would have a hard time, but, like, definitely those two, I wouldn't be able to put them in first.
It's also when the ranking's happening. It's like you take the best parts of each game and you stack them up to each other.
Oh no, you also stack the worst parts against the worst parts.
You do. You have to. But like when I stack the best stuff that happens in Phantom Pain to me is like better than the best stuff in 2. You know,
that's fair. I believe it. 2's peaks aren't really. Like, barring the ending and a couple in the middle, like, here and there, like, it's kind of a...
Just think about the general strut and Big Shell.
Oh, I love that stuff.
Without the crazy twist.
Dude,
I love that stuff so much.
But I'm saying prior to the twist.
Like, listening to Peter Stillman talk for almost an hour about how he's faked not having a leg for 10 years, like, I was like, my eyes are wide open, like, ah!
No,
it's like,
amazing, yeah.
Gosh,
they're just all so good.
They're all so good.
I kind of think that...
We're not even talking
Metal
about...
Metal Gear Solid 2 will always be poops. Looked fondly upon and be remembered mm-hmm. for the stuff it does.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of think Phantom Pain will, like, it has its, you know, detractors and people that love it, but it won't be looked upon with as much... I want to say memory.
It's a really fantastic video game.
I don't know. It took people a long time to turn around on MGS2.
It did. So a lot longer than I thought, actually.
Maybe we'll see the same thing happen.
That's what you're hearing out of me, you know?
Yeah.
But on just a level of just endings, though, not the main game, just
the ending.
There's like three. There's three, and then there's a power gap. Between
it's
the, everything
else.
And
what about 4's ending?
Oh, it's so...
It's the power gap and then 4's
ending.
And
then 4's ending.
I like 4's ending better.
Really?
Wow. I like the end of Snake's story,
okay.
Solid Snake's story, better than
it's
the beginning of Jack's
good.
Story.
It's
no, I know.
So good.
It's so
good. But to
good.
Me, it like, while
because for endings, I'd go 4-3, very close to each other.
Because...
4's ending has so much stupid bullshit in it, too, though.
Because I came out of 4... Like
the microwave hallway.
Yeah.
No, I'm...
From that point to the final credit
no,
shot...
No, before that, when you get in the boat with Mei Ling and you're set it off and you're on your adventure,
yeah,
that's,
but
the,
then,
that's the ending.
And the fact that
the last cut.
Or the fact that you're watching the credits
again.
And the initial reveal of fucking Big
Voice
Boss...
Voice of God,
is,
Big Boss.
Well, it's just like, it says Richard Doyle and it stays there. You're like, he wasn't in the game.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, you know, and then it goes on.
What
that
is
that feeling was like you had a visit with your granddad.
Yeah.
You went fishing.
But you thought he was
and then
dead.
At the end of the day, he died.
Yeah.
And you went, goodbye, granddad. And you felt, yeah, you know? But the end of 3 was just tears.
Yeah.
Babbling fucking tears.
Oh, I wasn't crying.
Oh, I was.
I was broken.
It was sad. Dude.
And no other video game has ever done that to me.
He was only 4 years old. He didn't understand the cold war.
I wasn't, but anyway.
So there's something to be said for that satisfying, like, yeah, man,
yeah
Richard, 3 it was
amazing.
Good.
Yeah.
But I was not a husk of a man like I was when fucking Way to Fall starts playing.
So,
you
here's
know?
My problem with Phantom Pain. I know we're not that far into it, but my...
Well, you can feel it on
my biggest problem is something that a gaming Brit, the review you sent me, brought up, and I think Bunny Hop would, but I can't look at his review because it's probably spoiler.
Yeah, I got a comment on that, too. Go ahead.
Is that 3's ending is so perfect... That even now, after Peace Walker, after half of all Ground Zeroes,
you could ignore all of
after
it.
Half of Phantom Pain, none of it
needed
to
be
told.
You could
it's all back,
implied.
It's like
it's all implied.
There was that straight line from 3 to Metal Gear 1.
You see the handshake or lack thereof, and you go, "I understand."
It's done. And I'm still waiting for the thing that happens that I go, well, okay, now that these games
now
are
that
happen.
Matters a lot, yeah.
But what you're gonna get, well, what you're gonna get here is gonna be some good shit too.
All right, good.
But except for one part of it. But anyway, the thing that Bunny Hop had to say, I think you guys, because I like, I think you,
I can't watch the video.
I know.
Can't
so
watch it, yeah.
So you're,
I watched a lot.
There,
of it,
you have
all of
you
it.
Have a misconception. He's not ripping in a new one. He really
well,
isn't.
He said that.
He's not. Yeah, he is.
He ripped a portion of the game a new one.
All the things he has to say are 100% true. I agree with him completely.
Mm-hmm.
But I still enjoyed what I saw.
Yeah, no, it's
and
weird.
like
he's saying the same things, but his numbers coming out different.
That's it.
Saying.
You know what I mean?
Mileage
so
may vary.
When you watch it, especially, and maybe it's just because it's Bunny Hop talking, but like he's not going on an angry rant. He's going.
I don't
this
think
is what,
he has that.
Yeah,
in him.
He's going.
Yeah.
This is what's happening, And, you know, this is the events occurring, and here's where, what I think this does to the rest of the canon.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you, I can't argue so that. I, no, of course I, but I felt that it
well,
was...
Well, it's like what we were just saying. Like, both of us know the glaring flaws and amazing highs of 4, and both of us, like, agree that it's placed differently, mm-hmm. but we all get... Like, that's just how Metal Gear is. Yeah. Like, it's one of the few series where it's, like, really that nebulous. Like, Resident Evil, it's a lot clearer.
Oh, everyone knows which order the Resident Evil games go.
Yeah, like, it's a lot clearer, but, like, Metal Gear is so consistently...
Everybody knows where the Street Fighters go. Everybody.
There they
should.
But, no, but listen, are you going to argue with some dude that says, yo, Street Fighter 2?
Yeah, exactly.
No. Are you, I will until he says, I mean, Super Turbo.
Which is why when people go, yo, Naoto, I go, yeah, you know what? You're fine. Yeah. You're okay in my book.
Because she's great.
You can't argue that.
No,
the
exactly.
OG that says Street Fighter 2 is also right.
Yes, yeah. He is. I'm not so keen to agree on the Street Fighter
I think probably the core of that is that a guy on Twitter messaged me earlier today and said, hey, are you guys going to listen to the tapes and stop complaining about how there's no story? And I think Liam and I spoke about this after the last recording session.
And the one
and
before.
We were thinking about it. Yeah, but not on in the LP. It was like,
not in the LP.
Those tapes are like 90 seconds long. Even if you added all of the tapes in the entire game, that's like...
You probably get like 3 or 4 hours.
That's
tape,
one character from Metal Gear Solid 1's dialogue.
Are some long tapes.
There are?
Yes.
How long are we talking?
There's like a 13-minute tape.
Wow, cool. Well, how long would you say overall the tapes are? Like 3 hours?
All the tapes combined.
All the tapes combined is probably like 5 hours.
Okay.
That's like two of your support team from a former game. Mm-hmm. And that's all the story.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the codex side stuff, but like, fuck, well, Forehead, 8 hours, man.
There's also conversations that are not cassette tapes, though.
Yeah, I know.
Let me jump.
One more.
Let me jump right in there. Is that whenever I've seen this, people go, if you don't want story, fuck you. I have been bred on 20 years of Metal Gear games giving lots of drama through cutscenes and movement and voice
and
acting
talking.
Between two characters. And I've been giving two characters for long codex sequences. And I understand that some of it's in the tapes, but as a tell-all solution to my problem of I miss this... It is a shitty, to me, solution.
Yeah.
Of being brought up on 20 years, like, since Metal Gear Solid 1 to now...
It's like 16
it's,
years.
It's a concession to people that don't want to hear long cutscenes.
Even Peace Walker had the decency to give you the character portraits during the tapes that you could listen to.
And if you like the cassettes and like the story, I can't say anything
about
that.
Well, the cassettes
that.
Are good. Like, yeah. I've listened
no,
to them,
no,
they're
no.
good.
They are, but as a replacement for people that really miss... Like,
yeah, no,
like
it's not an
codex,
adequate replacement.
It's just not enough
too.
For me. And I'm like... I don't like it when someone
no, it's
says,
not. You're right. It's not an adequate
says,
replacement.
No, if you want the story, just it's all in there. I'm like
and
I guess
the other
there's,
the other
no there's okay there's okay the cassettes at their greatest strengths do something that codec conversations don't and can't do.
Okay,
which is moments that have nothing to do with boss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
being captured.
Sure,
right. And think about the best part of Ground Zeroes,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you like you know
yeah,
that,
of course.
Right?
Oh, absolutely.
And then what you're getting here is there's similar tapes in that you get here that are all like those are the best tapes. These are scenes where boss was
well,
not
even
around.
Even the ones with Huey, like where
yes.
the boss isn't around, it's like those are great,
right?
So.
And those are better than codex. Mm-hmm. But the ones where it is like this is one way conversation
a codec replacement
yeah.
are worse.
The because in Ground Zeroes when everyone's like oh there's all this cool story in the tapes and for Ground Zeroes I'm like that's totally awesome
for Ground Zeroes
I
was
fine because that's
we
a
all pe- knew
because I in my head I thought that is how they squeeze some extra story in this you know budgeted piece of DLC but then when it came
pre-DLC.
Clear to me that it was this is the entirety of how it's being done not entirety but a lot of how
a,
it's being
a
done
fair percentage
I also,
a fair percentage I'm like oh
I
well,
also wouldn't be surprised mm-hmm. if like Kojima like got a few notes from some of his like movie friends that might have said like your pacing gets stopped when you have a conversation moment exposition and then gameplay and
so you're saying you should blame Del Toro
I'm not exactly getting there but we do have to blame him for something this week
yes
so we'll
do
get there.
Of course
we'll get
boy
there.
Will we
anyway Yeah, that, but that, you know, Phantom Pain. I mean, it's I'm anxious to see where you guys get to.
I'm very anxious to see that as well.
I still think the gameplay is like unparalleled.
No one's going to ever argue.
It's it's the fucking magic fantasy video
like that,
game.
Like you're the least wrong you've ever not been. Wrong.
That's one point that the entire internet agrees. There's nothing to say. Gameplay
over the last week, I've seen three Metal Gear fans like Bunny Hop, Gaming Brit Show. And one Marin.
Does Bunny Hop really like Metal Gear?
And Marin, like, you know, that Marin.
Yeah,
and
Marin.
All of them say the same thing. Man, this gameplay is incredible. Man, there's nothing to gain by doing this gameplay because I'm not getting what I wanted out of the story. So I'm doing this incredible gameplay and my reward is not what I wanted.
When Liam and I beat Afghanistan, I was like, yay, now I can go and play in Afghanistan to my heart's content, and I did one mission and I haven't touched it since.
Like, I read your Tumblr post, Matt, as well, and like the one thing I do have to say is that like you're like the stuff that is not that has changed for the worse, unfortunately, it's the truth, right? That has changed for the worse. But the experience is still good, and like continuing on with it, like it'll make it less sour to you.
All the good shit's in the latter half.
It should still.
I've been told that there's like a huge plot dump in like some stuff like towards the end. Yeah. And I'm like, well, that's cool. I wish that could have been paced better the entire game.
Basically, what I'm getting at is that like, it's not worth trashing right now. Like, get to where you gotta go.
We'll get farther.
And I think you'll turn around on a few things.
Yeah, I can't wait.
But the negatives will remain, you know?
Because then I'll kind of jump in with my
week. Go ahead, man.
Really, really quickly, though. You know one Brock Lesnar?
I do know about Brock
I understand
Lesnar.
Him a bit better now.
Oh, good.
Did you get a sword tattoo?
Did you discover that you had a creepy baby voice?
Not that yet. I understand you focus on your upper body because he has piddly little girly legs.
That's correct.
Because leg day is the hardest day that I've ever gone through.
Every day is leg day.
I did my first leg day at the gym, and you know what sucks is that I use my legs.
Yeah.
So the next day, before when I was complaining like, oh, I can't, oh, I'm a range of movement.
But my nipples are sore. What are you going to do with your nipples?
Who cares?
Yeah.
But leg day is, fuck that. So props to you, Brock Lesnar.
Those plyometrics done?
Anyway, I hate it. So I'm never...
Jump squats?
I am now making up excuses.
Never again until
to
3 days from now.
The trainer, I'm like, oh, man.
Doesn't the trainer know about this show?
No.
Oh,
no. This is a guy that's
so this
here
trainer
physically.
You can lie to.
I can lie to. I'm like, oh, my knee. I did something to my knee. I can't work on that day.
No, man.
It's because it's so tough. Anyway.
Fucking coward.
Jumping into after that Metal Gear, I don't want to say this. I take no pleasure in this, but I'm struggling to keep doing missions. I'm not having fun doing these missions. The gameplay is still great, but as I'm playing it, I'm like, I'm doing the same things over and over and over.
Well,
and
you
I
can
don't
do them different.
That side op variety, they really shouldn't have front loaded it the way they did. Because you get the more variety, you get the more.
And I know that's
you
that's
unlock different missions towards the end of it, and it's like you really should have spread it out.
And I know that's the problem, but it's just difficult to wrap my head because I barely even touched upon in that Tumblr post that you read. It's just like, this isn't. Why did it have to even be like this?
Why did they make it like this?
There's not a lot of advantages in being open world other than the novelty of, hey, it's an open world Metal Gear and you're free to do what you want.
Because all
when
the bases and villages are missions.
When it's not portable anymore, you don't need to
portable,
have
holy shit, that makes so much sense to me.
Yeah.
Having the bite-sized missions and being like that, it totally makes sense to me. But for a console, like, mainline game, it's not what I like doing.
It's a momentum breaker.
It's kind of a momentum breaker, I'll leave it at that. I still want to get towards the end before I say anything of where I place it in right now. But you know, that's all I'll really say. But I did something that Wooly, you'll be interested. Remember Goodnight Mommy? That creepy trailer, Austrian movie.
Yeah.
That I saw that
over the weekend.
It's playing at the forum right across from here.
Okay.
So remember what do we talk about? Talented Mr. Ripley.
That's correct.
You know what? Another trailer that super lied.
No way.
Because it super lied to you.
Because that trailer already implied
a rom-com
crazy twists.
It's not. It paints a picture of a creepy, maybe potentially supernatural thing happening, and it's more of a.
But then it hints at more at the end of the trailer.
It does hint at more, but it's still a trailer that's like, well, there's a lot of this creepy imagery in it, But that creepy imagery, there's a context for why it's in there.
Go check out that trailer, guys. It's really good.
It's super creepy.
But there are things that happen in that trailer that are difficult to explain away.
Yeah, it's actually easy when you watch. I go, oh, that's why that was used in the trailer. Because it looks creepy, but it actually... Whatever. It's just, for people that don't know, it's a mom, and she comes home from surgery or something. She has two sons, and something's amiss, and the entire movie takes place in one location.
Like, the fucking end of the trailer, they dress up like natives and burn the house down with sticks. Like...
And they're right.
How can that possibly be?
And how can you handle that?
Mommy comes home with a bandage on her face.
Yeah. Anyway, it was super interesting. It was super interesting, and I liked it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like, oh, okay, it's this type
of
thing.
It's no Babadook.
It's the type of movie that makes me think of home invasion movies, where it's like there's killers loose. This isn't the plot of this movie, but it's like there's a tense situation happening in this location, and that's the movie.
The Panic Room.
It's kind of like The Panic Room or something like that. And I recommend it. It's not going to be easily seen by a lot of people because it's a weird foreign movie. It's Austrian. Yeah.
It's not in every
I recommend you fly out to Montreal and go to the AMC forums.
Yeah, exactly.
Shitty theater, but you've got a great
terrible
movie
theater. I hate that theater.
Me too.
I hate parts of it.
It's got the love seats.
It does.
I hate parts of it, and other parts I like. It's too big for the amount of people that are in there.
Can't hate those love seats.
You got a movie there at like 2 in the afternoon on a Monday.
It's also alone. Got, like, 8 of my friends working there.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
So, you know.
On the flip side... Hey, you need to clean up the...
You mean, did I make it worse?
Yeah.
They don't clean here.
Yeah.
Just, that's the spot over there for you people.
On the flip side, we talked about it a few weeks ago. I saw M. Night Shyamalan's new movie, The Visit, which was a horror movie. And was pretty darn good, actually.
What was it about?
It was, hey, you never met your grandparents because I've been estranged from your grandparents. Why don't you go for a visit for a week? And old people are the scariest.
It's true, they are.
And it's a found footage movie. And
like every
found footage movie,
Burgess Meredith is in that movie, alive.
What's your reason for it being a found footage movie?
Because
if it's cheap, right? Let's film... And then there's no explanation. Well, fuck you.
You gotta film the last days of Grandpa's life.
The girl that's in this brother-girl pair that go visit their grandparents, I'm an aspiring documentary person, and this is a huge cathartic situation. We're going to go visit the parents. I'm going to document it.
Yeah, okay.
And she has her computer and her laptop, and she's got Final Cut there. That's fine.
Yeah.
I'll accept
Fair enough.
That.
Yeah. Fair enough.
That's what she's working on. That's her thing. It's still not great because there's situations where I'm like, why would you be recording this? But a lot of the times...
You don't need to show the catheter bag.
You don't. But sometimes you do. Did. Also, old people, very scary. Yeah.
It's true.
Because I was... There's some scenes where I'm like, eh. There's actually a last scene. The last scene is very, very harsh, especially kids being involved. And when I said, hey, I watched The Visit, and people were like, ho, 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 how about like this with no context given? It means nothing. But I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that part. Anyway, very, very harsh, like, actually, like, wow, you're going for it. M. Night?
The trees are killing us.
Was it good in a way that smelled like desperation? Like, I have to make this bring me my career back?
No,
I can't name something that's good but feels like that.
Because
that's a very weird sentiment. I don't find
movies where like a comedian comes and does a serious role after they've been tanking for a while. It doesn't strike me like that.
True Detective. feels like that in some spots.
Fucking that Adam Sandler movie.
Punch Drunk Love.
You know?
Yeah.
Something like that.
No, it doesn't strike me like that, because guess what? There's a twist in this movie, and this twist doesn't try to be... Come to the back of the boat!
So there it is.
Yeah,
the twist doesn't try to be anything amazing. It's a nice twist, but it didn't seem to be like, I have to one-up every twist I've
ever
done.
That was the problem. Yeah. That's what, like, the Village and Happenings twists are like, he tried to go too far and they're absurd.
Yeah, this one's fine, actually. And I'm like, that's fine. There's one part that I didn't like about it, is that after the movie's done, and it's quite harsh, and then the ending of it is very emotionally like, whoa, that is kind of heavy. Then the credits start rolling. And then the kid in this movie, the brother and sister, the brother in the movie, he's established, I'm a white kid and I love hip-hop, and he raps here and there in the movie, like, okay. Whatever. And they have a really harsh emotional tone, and then I feel like M. Night Shyamalan's like, oh, it's too harsh. This is too heavy.
No.
So during the credits, the kid comes back in a funny post-credit scene, and he raps, and he's good at it. But I was like, I feel like someone said, oh, people are going to go out of the theater going, I don't like this.
Yeah.
It made me feel things, and they're harsh. So put this kid over it, mugging it up, going,
so
yeah!
Leave with a smile.
So you'll leave with a smile. Like, you know what is it? It's like Predator. Predator, everyone dies, or whatever. Spoilers!
Yeah.
Except for Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then during the credits, they go, hey, here's an action shot of someone smiling at the camera going, yeah, I did all that! You know? It's kind of like
you
that.
Did you figure out who the devil in the elevator was?
You
the dance number.
You turn the page and Guts and Rickard are having a nice breakfast.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, basically.
For
sure, doesn't it? And I guess going on Predator, actually, I saw a comic book series that people have told me about in the store, and I went, they're all here, I'll buy them all. And it's this saga that's called Fire and Stone. That Dark Horse put out. It's called Fire and Stone. The first volume is Prometheus. Fire and Stone, Aliens. Fire and Stone, AVP. And Fire and Stone, just Predator. And it's actually really, really interesting in that it's a continuation.
Top billing is Fire and Stone.
It's,
not the other
it's,
way around.
Okay. Yeah. Right. It starts with a sequel to Prometheus going, what the fuck happened?
That's crazy.
Let's go check out what happened to their thing. What the Prometheus did. So another team goes down there, and they're like, okay, so what are we doing? And then you see the continuation of what would happen on that planet at the end of Prometheus. And then it springs off there into connecting into Aliens, the movie, and gets Prometheus in there as well. Then AVP is just nuts, because I don't want to go into it, but the only thing you have to think about is, like, what would be the interconnecting factor out of all these species is the black fucking goo. What happens if this black goo goes on that thing or that thing? And that's the interconnecting thing where the goo kind of gets sent around.
That's not canon, though.
The timing of this release is pretty spot on.
Isn't it?
You're not going to have...
Dark Horse already wrote, like, 20 years ago, that the reason the aliens and predators are related is because they're from the same planet.
Well, just two scripts are about to drop that'll retcon the shit out of whatever you just read.
Because what I read... what I read,
you
know, I'm just finishing
what you
off...
What read ain't canon anymore. Yeah.
What I'm just finishing
Ridley
off...
Ridley Scott is burning it as you read it.
Ridley who?
I'm just finishing off the Predator thing, and I actually think this stuff is really, really good, actually.
Hmm.
The Aliens one is particularly strong, and it's a different writer each time, it's a different artist, but they're all solid to great. I was just like, there's one thing where it's just like two characters are talking a lot over, like, a war that's happening in the background. I'm like, this is even an odd place to talk about life and the meaning of the universe, but it's still interesting, like... what if the black goo goes on David, the android?
Nothing. We already saw that.
No, you didn't.
No, he holds it in his hand in Prometheus.
No, he didn't get injected into himself.
He has it on his fingertip.
Yeah.
He's looking at it.
Yeah, I mean, not go on, but inject. Or
well,
whatever.
Considering he's purely mechanical, the answer should be nothing.
No, he's not life, so yeah, he's, you know.
But what, but you don't know.
He turns into a monster!
You don't know what the black goo can do. Anyway.
Nothing should happen, because he's not a...
But something will.
I know. But it'd be silly.
His face changes so slightly that you don't have to use the likeness rights for the man anymore.
Even Ash or Bishop are, like, not
But you're talking
enough.
About a movie that yeah. gave no answers to questions it itself posed.
Ridley Scott really fucked it up, because everything we've talked about for the entire Aliens franchise since Prometheus came out is how do we fix Prometheus.
And Comic Book Girl has a really good answer. But
just erase it.
That there's like the
that works for me.
Go read the art book and put the
fuck
shit back.
You.
I no, but it's like put the shit that was not in the movie back in. fix that's, the that's shit you changed.
That's always the answer.
You know?
And then the Blu-ray made it worse. Anyway.
It's going to get real confusing when Resurrection and 3 get retconned out to hell.
We'll touch back onto this.
It was actually a really solid read, and if you guys ever want, I can just pass it to you, because I thought, like, this. There's some cool stuff going on in here, and it uses characters like...
Is that sassy black lady from AVP?
No.
I don't know. She was cool.
There's a sassy white guy.
No, it's not quite the same.
No, but there's a scummy asshole that's in the entire series. Like, he's always in a bit. Like, you see him going, fuck you, and drive off, and then the next comic starts with him like, yeah, I fucked everyone over. I don't care.
These people are dead.
What a hero.
I don't know, like, can you apply the word sass to, like, white guys? Like,
if he's acting like a sassy black woman, then yes.
Yes.
But like, he's gotta be doing black people don't own sass, they're just really good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When you put the stereotypes on and stuff, but it's just
you get a plus one on your character. Yeah, exactly.
That pharmaceutical CEO douchebag.
You need to be at least this sass to say that.
That pharmaceutical CEO douchebag guy is just being real sassy.
I'm also playing Undertale, and it's joy in a bottle, and that's
quite,
all
it's quite
say.
Good
would you say it's lightning in a bottle
if the guy does a second game? It's only made by one guy, so if he does a second game and it's just a good game, I've never laughed harder.
I am also playing Undertale.
You are also doing that.
That's crazy that both of you are playing Undertale.
We are at a similar distance in the game, and
it's very similar.
I like it a lot. I hope it, like, really ramps up, because I like it a lot, but it really has to stick that
people
landing.
People were telling me that it does get better
I heard, exactly.
Because you see the gimmick, and you're like, this is funny, but...
Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah. So, about, like, two arcs in or whatever, it's real good so far, but yeah. This week...
Let's take a quick word from our sponsors.
Always.
Yo, Pat, grab that loot crate.
It's in my fucking hands, Wooly.
Shake that loot crate. Is there anything inside?
No, hold on. I'm going to shake it.
Oh, why not?
Shake it super hard.
Okay. Do you know what the theme is this one? Because I'm opening it raw.
What was the theme?
I don't know.
Let's see if we can figure it out.
What's on the box?
Oh, I know what the theme is.
On the box, this is loot crate.
No, on the inside of the box, Pat.
I actually can't recognize
what it is. I think it's summoning.
Oh, it's summon.
You can already tell it's summon. Exactly.
Okay. Oh my god, what is this?
It's a Pikachu hat.
It's a Pikachu hat!
Like beanie.
You wanna be the very best.
It's actually not bad.
I'm gonna wear this.
You damn straight you are.
Throughout the whole podcast.
That's gonna really come across really well in the podcast video.
I know, I'm gonna wear it.
Alright,
this
let's
is
go.
Super comfy.
It
actually.
Looks like it.
Let's hear it. Pat, let's hear it.
Pika Pika.
Chew. Yeah.
Hold on.
Chew.
Pika Pika. Chew.
Very good.
There, now everyone can use that.
Yeah.
We got a, what is this, like Homer Simpson
Buddha
figurine? Buddha figurine?
You buy. Good luck.
I can't open it.
It's knife just, it open.
I'm going to knife
get
it
that
open.
Knife in there.
Oh, God. This is dangerous. You guys usually stop letting me play with this stuff a while ago.
Yeah, exactly. Split it open, Tavar.
Homer Simpson gold Buddha. Here you go, man.
I already have it.
Seriously? Oh, yeah. I already got the box.
From Matt's loot crate.
Yeah.
The Pikachu hat is what I kept.
Okay. I have a Supernatural. Is that a TV show?
Yeah, it's a TV show.
Exactly. Join the Hunt Automobile 1967 Chevrolet.
Wait, see that?
Oh, shit.
What, like it's like a toy car?
Yeah.
Is there twin cest action happening inside there?
Why, what? Yes, there is.
There better be.
My Supernatural fans know what that's about.
Does anyone recognize what this stone is?
It's a Hearthstone.
That is a Hearthstone. Shit, I should have known that. It also says Hearthstone. Stone on the top.
Well, because I already opened the secret.
Let me take a look. So what is it exactly?
It's the stone.
It's a stress ball.
It's a stress ball? Yeah. Open it up.
I'll open it.
Pat, open it up. Open up the things that are coming out of the box.
I'm having trouble. I have all these knives and the Pikachu hats.
Yeah.
And
his car. It's a little matchbox car.
Yeah.
It's cute.
Nice.
Ooh, what is this? This is a comic of some kind. Oh, this is LG magazine.
That's the loot crate magazine.
That's actually LC.
Stress out.
So here, when you fail,
it shows off like what comes.
When you fail at Hearthstone, squeeze that.
I fail at Hearthstone constantly,
and you'll feel slightly less miserable.
Oh, Hearthstone's a good game.
And of course, you failed.
Oh yeah.
And of course, the collectible.
What is
in
this?
Oh,
there's a. Oh, dude, it's the coin from Hearthstone. Like the gold coin that you used to fucking...
Oh, nifty.
I don't think it's real gold.
No.
But that's actually really cool.
When you win, you squeeze
it also comes with a scratch card, a scratch thing for a pack of cards.
Okay, well, now
you want that.
Shit.
Now you're back in. Just when you got pulled out.
It comes with the coin to scratch it off. That's great.
Yeah. And it also comes with a cool little pin that says Loot Crate Summon on it. It's got the cool little
It's the collectible monthly pin.
Yeah. That's it. That's the bottom of the box.
So that's your summon box.
Oh, there's also some esoteric, like, evil Satan shit.
It's some sort of treasure chest box.
Darkness.
Yeah, combined with, like, what looks like a Pokemon fighting ring on top there.
Yes.
Okay, so that's the summon month.
Solid stuff.
Once again, that's Loot Crate. You can check it out at lootcrate.com, and if you use the promo code SUPERBEST, you save $3 on your new subscription. It's less than $20 a month. You get items like these mailed straight to your house.
Summoned to your house, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You didn't see the mailman because there was a sigil.
A blood sigil on the ground.
The mailman.
The pact has been completed.
The mailman was an Aeon, and it came down this really elaborate animation.
Yeah.
Just make sure that you sign the blood pact by 9 p.m. Pacific on the 19th of every month. Otherwise, your soul is lost.
Oh, shit.
Actually, no, that's what
it's actually just that month's loot crate that's lost.
High stakes loot crating.
You could always summon the next one.
Lootcrate.com/superbest. Promo code is superbest. Thanks, Loot Crate.
Thank you, Loot Crate.
This week I was catching up on Corpse Party Book of Shadows, which
is that
the one
on the beach?
No. No.
Is that the one that just came out, or it is coming out?
So the new one comes out on the 13th of October.
The Teen Sex Rock?
This is the second one for the PSP. So, like, after the first one, like, you have whatever characters survive.
What
like, the heavenly.
Constitutes a romp, Pat?
A romp is Ember Island Prayers. A teen sex romp is Ember Island Prayers Until Dawn. I know what you did last summer, but that's the horror variant. Like, a bunch of teens being around each other and being hot.
Rumpus.
And being, like, being all like, ey.
Yeah, Corpse Party's not a romp.
Well, there isn't one of them that is a teen sex romp.
No, not at all. Okay. It's, no.
It's on a beach.
Like, you want to categorize hatred as being a teen sex romp.
Well, the reason I ask is because pooper buttering... Yeah, as you never know.
It was a gag line even in the first place.
And then it's come to define it.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
But, like, the first game takes place in this, like, haunted. It's a bit more than haunted, but this elementary
school,
right? Yeah,
it's way more than haunted.
It's real bad. And at the end, a handful of characters survive, and the second game takes place after it, and it picks up right out of the gates where you're hanging out with one of your buddies, and you're like, didn't you die in that school? Like, didn't you not make it out alive? And then eventually stuff plays out and you end up getting pulled back into the school and you're trying to, like, undo events that would have happened and stuff.
Okay, okay.
And it's a really interesting, like, retread of it. It's a different genre, which is kind of
really?
Weird
it's
as well.
Not like a top-down?
The first one's grid-based because of its roots of like, RPG Maker and such. The second one's a visual novel where you can open up a map and go to places in the school.
Oh, that sounds
actually... it's the same map.
That actually sounds like I would enjoy that a lot more than the first one.
Like P3P?
Kind of.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's kind of how it goes, and I'm really interested, and it's really fun, and stuff's changing in ways where I'm like, oh, where is this going to go now? Because I already know how it was supposed to end.
Right.
But we did a thing. I really hope I can finish that in time for
that's
the 13th.
Good stuff, man.
I think I will. It's super good. I think you guys should try it because you'd like it. I don't know if you like horror things.
I'm going to need to go back and play Corpse Party 1 because if it's a time travel beat the events shit, then...
Oh, yeah, you can't go 2-1 and, like, playing the third game would be
that's
tricky.
Also a PSP game that's playable on Vita and Vita TV, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They're supposed to be on sale next week,
I
want to
get into Corpse Party. Where do I start?
They're
at
getting,
1?
At,
and
yeah,
then perhaps
one,
followed
then
by
perhaps 2?
I don't know.
And maybe the third one if you're feeling daring. I think they're supposed to be on sale next week, so
I'm going to throw your own completely right joke in your face. Like, hey, Wooly, I'm looking to get into Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Where should I start?
Should you start at 1? Yeah. At one.
Yeah.
For about a minute.
Yeah.
Then?
I played a handful of other games, just going back to old stuff, but nothing really of note. But the other thing is, I know this is not the Kickstarter section of the podcast.
What?
We actually don't have one this week.
Oh, well, that's a shame, because there's a huge Kickstarter going on right now, and they're at like 400+K.
Go for it.
So there's a Kickstarter up right now for the Muv-Luv trilogy to be localized into English. And this trilogy, Wooly, is the definition of goes to space.
Okay.
Like,
go to space.
So in the first game, Muv-Luv is like a regular whatever, No, Muv Love.
Go on.
The first game is like...
You're supposed to ignore
this. It feels like that high school, like, dating whatever thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually in the second game, it's like, okay, no, war is happening. And then in the third game, it's like, okay, no, space war is happening.
Oh.
And this game...
What?
This game goes to mech places. This game goes to every places. I don't want to spoil it for people who don't know.
I have seen mech pictures.
Everyone has.
That's the one thing I know about is that there's mech involved.
There's six mechs.
And that's about all I got. But
so, they're working on localizing this right now. And you can look at the amounts. Mm-hmm. It's a smashing success right now.
Mm-hmm,
What are they at right now? They're at 442K of 250 with only 5 days have passed, so they're killing it. But I wanna show this because fucking awesome game, definitely worth playing at some point if you're interested in a crazy story that does go to space. It's not cheap though because you are paying for three games, so it's like $60 for all three, which is like $20 a piece. But for some people that is a lot.
Can testify that they're good.
Oh yeah, not just me. Like, look at the amount of money that's getting.
It's got support.
That's for a reason. I was worried that like it was because I was following it on Prefundia. You know that website for like people to put up their like Kickstarter campaigns before the campaign. Okay, yeah, it's a site so you can just start getting interest around.
Feel the groundswell.
Interesting. Exactly.
Huh.
I was following it on that, and I was really worried that it would just kind of come out and just like faceplant. I didn't think it would take off to this level. I didn't think there was this many people keen on it. But lo and behold, there's fucking
that
billions.
Feels like, that's an interesting idea. It's like a test the waters Kickstarter pitch.
Yeah,
like,
basically. Uh-huh. There's no money involved, none of that. Just like, hey, sign up and we'll notify you when we're good. And you get a little notification and we're good now. So yeah, check that out. Really cool. Check out Corpse Party. Real cool. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm excited for Dancing All Night, which showed up at my doorstep this morning. But I did not have a minute to play it. So
is that out digitally? Or tomorrow, right?
Tuesday. So
then
tomorrow.
I will buy that on my Vita TV and turn that Vita TV on for the first time in forever.
You should play it.
Yeah, sure. I will.
Now that you can play anything on your Vita TV.
Oh, I don't even need to do that. Man, hearing you talk about that Kickstarter stuff is a total bummer. It's not part of my week, but like, do you see the like Unsung Story and Project Phoenix,
yeah.
Are both of those projects... I think you backed them as well.
I backed both of them, yeah, absolutely.
So for
Unsung Story,
holy shit.
For Unsung Story, I'm still just going to hang on until we see something, because there's not enough information. Right
yeah.
Now. For Project Phoenix, the only thing I'll say is we know that they spent 200, but they still have 750K.
Yeah. So I forget which one it is. I believe it's one of them said, okay, one of our the problems we listed in our pitch
was missing the programmer. That was Project Phoenix.
Phoenix. Guess what? The programmer we wanted to get. We didn't get him.
Yeah.
So we're trying. The whole thing's basically on hold until we can get that guy.
I put a scathing comment on their Kickstarter a few weeks ago, actually.
Yeah.
But I'm still like, now that they've said we still have 750K of the million,
Explain what's happening.
So the Project Phoenix one is kind of like, it's not sputtering so much as it feels like it still hasn't even gotten off the ground.
Neither of them have gone anywhere the entire time.
They showed
like
off
year plus.
They showed off like a little like demo of it, and it just doesn't even look great. It doesn't look particularly interesting, though. In their defense, it is exactly what they described.
Hmm.
And for Unsung Story, I don't think there's been anything.
They've
shown
nothing.
So far.
Has there been updates?
There's been updates. For Unsung Story, they were really slow.
Not really. Like, there have been updates, but nothing that of substance. Except for the one from Phoenix that was like, guys, straight up, this the worst thing that could happen happened.
They put out a really comprehensive one for Project Phoenix that was like, this is where we're at for everything in the game.
But
percentages and numbers.
Okay. Like, these are the first Kickstarter
the RPG like things that like they get grouped together because they're both the big
well,
RPG.
Those two,
And these are Japanese, both of them.
Yeah.
Well, one wants to be Japanese, but it's actually Western.
Yeah.
And but like I just like it feels like these are the first two Kickstarter games that I've personally there's a relatively high chance that one or both are just not going to come out.
Well, the thing about Unsung Story is they're releasing their multiplayer beta very soon.
Mm.
They confirmed that, didn't they?
I believe they did, but that's not the...
No, I know, but...
When I hear that, that's always the one where, like... Mm.
No, but I mean, you know, like, it's coming. You know, these things, they take time.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not saying they haven't taken a long time, for sure, but, like, they, it's been, what, a year?
Yeah.
Like, it takes a long time.
Yeah, but I think one of them is past their release date.
Yeah.
And is still, like, hasn't shown the game.
Yeah, I think that's probably
And honestly, I'm frustrated at how much these two run together in my mind.
Right.
Because they both they both showed up around the same time.
A similar time, yeah.
Within a few months, yeah. And they both had similar pitches. And, like, I can't tell the difference between either of them, and I back them, so I feel stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But what do I do with my fucking week? I've been doing, like, adult responsible things with some of my weeks.
No,
so
you haven't.
No, I have. I was just texting somebody about it just now. So
hey, I'm doing adult responsible things right now. Yeah.
No, that'll come up later if everything goes well.
Was it Vince an adult man? Were you talking
about? Yeah, I'm talking to Vince an adult business? Man.
Business!
So I'm gonna skim over this as fast as possible. I played a lot of Final Fantasy, haha. And in what is the most disgusting depths of remember Wooly when I started playing it and you were like, oh, you're in, oh god. So
the realization, right?
So there's something interesting that happens to MMOs that doesn't really happen to other games. It doesn't happen to fighting games, and it's the best analogy here. So they recently came out and did a show and said, okay, so that big content patch 3.1, everyone was expecting them to announce it for this week. It got announced for the first week of November. And the next night, you just see all the cities empty out. And you see people in your free company going, put me on vacation. I'm canceling my sub for a month.
Okay.
And you go from having like 250 people online every day, like, hey, who wants to run that? Down to 35.
Excitement.
And guess what? It gets really hard to run hard bosses when you have a pool of 35 people.
Yeah.
Some of which are not very good. So what do you do? I still want to play it, but I can't. Fuck it. I'll just spend the time and I'll start crafting and mining and all that shit.
Time to make new accounts on other computers so you can artificially fill your party.
That's the creep.
Time for the real fun.
Yeah, which is hitting rocks. Hitting rocks all day. I've been hitting rocks all week. I actually enjoy hitting rocks. Weird.
Video games.
But, fuck that. You know what you do when you hit rocks? You watch the Blu-rays of TNG.
That's why you're getting those.
Yeah, so
I came into Pat's place, and he's like, hey, I think my internet should be fine, but I'm not torrenting anything. And
I
would never torrent anything. And it's just
He saw my totally legal downloads of TNG, which are large.
It was like 500 gigs. I was like, dude, you're torrenting like...
No. It's my totally legal, cool downloads.
It's an old show.
Fuck off. Anyway, so those first two seasons, man... This is the first time I've gotten to them in the modern era. Like, I watched it again, like, 10 years ago. Holy shit. I finally get to see what's happening in those first two seasons.
Mm-hmm. And they're not much,
they're trying to make the original series again.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so cheap. It's cheap. Bad. It's fucking cheap. And in the Blu-ray restoration, you get to see, like, holy shit, the audio quality is terrible!
Yeah.
They lost a bunch of the mic data. So they'll be fucking panning it, and, like, Riker's dubbed! Because he's too far in the back!
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So they dubbed him!
You notice how in the first seasons, they have so many away missions on, like, the worst sets ever? Like, it's literally a soundstage with some fog... that a fog machine is pumping in.
Skin of evil, man.
And then they stop it, and then they're like, no, just have it happen a lot on the Enterprise.
Like, there's a quality to it that I don't know what it is, but it's like, the original series, you have to watch. For TNG, it's you have to watch it as well, but it's also backgroundable in a way that the original series isn't.
So,
I don't know.
Because there's less fights.
You can just you can kind of just listen.
There's more techno babble, less fights. But like everything about those first two seasons, or season one in particular, like Geordi's not the chief engineer.
I hate how everyone's colors are wrong.
Everyone's colors are not.
Yeah.
Worf's makeup.
Wearing red, and my face fucking exploded.
Worf's makeup in season one is fucking terrible.
Yeah.
And it's not much better in season two.
Yeah.
And like, so you get to season three, and what happens? The uniforms change, and they get the padded shoulders and the collar, the half-inch collar, and all of a sudden, everyone looks great instead of looking like they're wearing pajamas. Gene Roddenberry starts to get ill around the beginning of season three, no longer the lead writer. And, you know, like, the episode I was watching today, Remember that episode where they go to the planet and those fucking racist ass Irish drunks come up with all their animals?
Yeah.
And then they go to the clone planet and the clone planet steals their clones and they're like, why don't the Irish fucks with too many babies go live with you fucking weirdo clone people? Yeah, guess what? They're terrible!
Are they written by Rick Berman?
A lot of them are produced by Rick Berman.
Yeah.
They're fucking
terrible.
What's
with all these wrecks?
But I in watching this, I was reminded of what I believe to be the absolute worst Star Trek episode of all time.
Which is that?
It's not the one where it's not the one where Janeway and Paris get turned into lizards and fuck and have lizard babies. It's not the one where Geordi has like a creepy holodeck wife, and then the girl finds out about it, and he's like, it's not like the series finale of Deep Space Nine, which is terrible. It's an episode called Pen Pals, and it is an episode in which Data acts. They're going into some part of the galaxy where all these planets are exploding, and Data hears a little girl with her radio. And she says, help, hey, anybody out there? And he starts a fucking pen pal relationship that's a month long. And then they get all Prime Directory, Directive-y and shit. Because her planet's going to explode. Mm-hmm. And then Data's like, but my friend, though. And they have the worst moment in Star Trek in which they all sit around in a fucking room smelling their own fucking farts, going,
yeah.
with Riker going, maybe it's the height of hubris if there's a cosmic plan that we just let this planet explode and all these people die. And they all just go, well, with a Prime Directive, though, are we supposed to... Oh, fucking Picard, he goes, well, what if it's a geological disaster? Should we save them? And no one says anything, but it's implied that yes. What about a disease? And you go, well, maybe. What if it's a war? And you go, well, no. And then he goes, like, see how hard it is?
See?
No, it's super easy! Their planet's just gonna blow up with volcanoes! And you're all just going, like, well, you can't interfere with the planet!
They constantly interfere all the time on planets!
In season one, Wesley trips over that fucking fence
Hitler's sex planet.
And then they're like, we're gonna fucking kill Wesley right now. And he's like, I can't let you do that. And then everyone's like, what about the Prime Directive? He's like, well, for Wesley, I gotta make an exception because he's my friend. So you'll save fucking Wesley after he goes to some planet and breaks all their laws on the perfect sex planet.
Did that still happen?
You
won't
save this whole planet from it's terrible.
Is that a season where Wesley was in uniform or is he wearing his fucking Christmas Gansey? This fucking Christmas
thing?
Sweater. The fucking great thing that looks like he's wearing a Christmas fucking sweater.
So here's the fun part that you realize when you watch all the seasons in a row, syndicated. Wesley's only in season one and two.
No, he comes back.
He comes back in season seven for one episode.
Because he went with the Traveler.
Yes. In season seven, where most of you don't remember this because to get bad out there, episode in which Picard goes to the Native American planet, the United Federation of Planets gave to all the Native Americans as a sorry we're bad.
Sorry we're the worst.
And then Picard's like, oh, it's too close to the neutral zone. We got to move them all off. And they're like, nah.
And then Wesley's
like a huge traitor, and he screams at him, and then Wesley goes off to fucking space with light speed travel or whatever. That's like, he's only in that episode, and like I think the game in like
yeah,
a like
that the game when they get episode. Addicted to that fucking
game.
They get addicted to
the Oculus Rift. Dude, those first two seasons are so fucking bad.
You know what also
They're
pisses
so
me off?
Bad.
Why can't they make up their mind about what Deanna wears? She changes costumes like four times. And that one captain says, yo, this thing's too fucking sexy. Wear the fucking blue medical thing. Because you are giving psychological help, so you are medical alert.
So you find out when you watch these things in a row, you discover things like Shut Up, Worf. Are you guys familiar with that?
Yeah. There's a 12-minute-long video.
Every time Worf ever suggested
anything
in the entire series, they always told him to shut up.
Shut up, Worf.
Every single time.
Okay.
In TNG, he is never listened to a single time. And you also discover that Deanna Troi exists so that the screenwriter can add fake tension, because in a totally normal situation where you'd have to write it, instead she goes, I feel... something.
Yeah.
And the worst
she wasn't there.
And the worst part is her race, the Betazoids, like they're full-on 100% mind-reading telepaths.
Yeah.
So she's a half beta said so that she can
so
only
she get...
So
she can't get
no, you can't
so
get
she goes,
it.
I,
no,
I
can't
feel...
Get it. Yeah.
I feel it.
If anything, she's a huge, like, problem. Like, get a full beta Zoid. Why would you ever go for the half one?
So many of those episodes are terrible. Like, the first episode of season two is the one where she gets space pregnant like Jesus.
You mean, like, every season?
No, that only happened the one time.
No, no. Or people want to get her pregnant.
Well, a lot of people want to get her pregnant. And that fucking horrible episode with that peace talker who has the three people that speak for him.
Oh, God!
And they get blown up and he's doing sign language. Like, how will I ever do the peace?
So, yeah, just no sense of continuity in my brain because it was just... Catch whatever's on ABC 22.
Well,
yeah.
here's the best piece of continuity where you get to see where the Borg actually happened and where they came from. And they came from a huge writing failure. So in season one, and you've all seen this episode because it's the best, the second to last episode of season one is where you find out that the Federation conspiracy subplot is those fucking worm things eating into people's brains and they're super strong. And you remember they blow up that fucking commander at the end, Rennick, and it's incredibly gory.
Violent.
They explode his chest and his head explodes. And then a huge monster comes out of his chest and they blow it away. So that was supposed to be the threat forever, for like the ongoing number one threat of everything. And so that episode ends with like, and then they sent out a message into deep space.
And then what happened?
And then a couple episodes later, they go to the neutral zone. It's like, oh, colonies have gotten all the scooped out. What could do this? And then in season two, they finally commit to it. It's like, no, it was the Borg. Was the fucking Borg that
so
did
they
it?
They just dropped that
so
plot
they,
line.
Okay,
they
yeah,
just
yeah.
They wanted some super alien other, and it was going to be the parasites. And then they said,
Borg.
We're gonna do Borg.
Hey,
the space zombies.
They Damon did.
Do you know why they got rid of Crusher for two seasons for no reason, and then they replaced her with that old lady?
She's in the first episode, and she's nearly immediately replaced by Pulaski, who's the old lady.
Yeah.
And then she comes back full time in season three.
Do you know why that happened?
No.
Because Crusher, the actress, had real problems with the writers at the time. He says, you write all our women characters horribly.
Guess what?
And I hate it.
She's right.
And it's true. So then they go, fuck you. We can replace you. We can't replace the writer. So they just replace her with the old lady.
Pulaski,
who then she just goes away. And Crusher's back. And she never has a send-off episode.
Nope.
Because then they finally actually fired that writer.
Yeah.
And they said, well, we actually value her a lot better. So we because all the other women complained.
I feel like this
so they got rid of that writer. And then she came back.
Troy's not a great character, but her character dramatically improves in season 3.
This is the second time you've started watching TNG on the podcast.
I blow through it all.
And you just here's my question. Have you ever watched Enterprise like once?
Never.
I watched
one episode of Enterprise.
Not even out of curiosity.
I walked by and Dad was watching it on TV, and it was the episode in which they ran into the proto-Borg.
Okay.
And like every part of my brain started to scream how none of that made any sense at all.
Maybe I should just watch it. The ending makes it all make sense. You know the ending of Enterprise.
Fine, that's what it deserves. That's what it deserves. The ending of the first season of Enterprise is like one of the most offensive shock twists ever, in which it discovers that like blue aliens had actually time traveled back in time and were the genesis for Hitler's rise to power.
Oh yeah.
And, like, they go back in time to fight space Nazis.
Seems legit.
For multiple episodes.
Now,
seems
to like be a fair, good that's a strong threat.
It's a strong threat.
And that shitty Enterprise.
You know
what else
is weird? You know Quark? You must remember Quark from DS9.
Yeah.
He's the first Ferengi to ever have a line in Star Trek. In episode, like, 5 of TNG, he's the guy they need out on the planet. The actor.
He's the first guy they run
into.
And
when they were like, let's have a good Ferengi character, they went all the way back. That, I recognize that guy's voice. He's a career actor. He's some guy. But yeah, weird.
So a year from now, we'll start this loop again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe I'll rewatch Voyager.
Plus, you might also be thinking about like a few
Voyager
months ago, I did the same thing.
You started watching, yeah, I remember.
Everything on Netflix.
Oh, also, Monogatari finished. It it's done for. It's clear. The it ends. It's like, well, we're going to next year of high school, so it will continue.
We're dead.
To the I have spoke to several people who could not watch it the end the final episode because they were too scared of what was going to happen. What? Just watch it.
What happened? Nothing.
Trust me on this. It probably all works out in the end, and you'll be really happy that you watched it. It's very
Are you describing Berserk or a fucking...
I'm describing the romance anime.
All right.
Berserk.
Leave you
the ultimate
right?
rom-com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What it happened? Nothing. Everything's fine.
Everything worked out for the best.
Yeah.
What the hell is that dude doing? He's 21.
Yeah. That show's all right.
That show's great.
It was all right. I started losing interest around, like, episode, like, 17.
Too sweet for you?
No, just nothing was happening. Like, they're together. Oh, there's...
Isn't 17
together? But then what about the Am I Good Enough arc that has to happen after they're
together? I've seen it before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, okay. So, yeah, you're too...
I'm watching reruns.
Okay. Nothing's happening is what I feel like. I mean to bring it back, but I'm like, I'm playing Metal Gear.
It was, I mean, it's
happening!
Yeah. I mean,
I thought you were going to say Adventure Time!
I mean, it's a good show. Like, it's really good, actually. And I wouldn't have even watched... Like, I've tried to get into other ones in previous seasons, and I wouldn't even get that far, usually.
Because I brought it up last...
It's good.
I brought it up last week, but like the reason why I ended up watching all of Karikano was because my friend was like, hey, do you want to see what Hideaki Anno did after Evangelion? I was like, yeah!
Of course I do.
Fucking...
went great, didn't it?
Yeah.
He knew what he wanted.
Yeah.
He got it.
It was a happy good time, man.
Yeah, that's not my week. That's just a lot of Star Trek, a lot of hitting rocks.
All right.
That's what happens in Star Trek. A lot of hitting rocks.
It happens every now and then.
Okay, so...
More often than you'd expect.
Or that canister falls on Worf.
Something that I found out that... it brought to my attention to you, because you guys were talking about Destiny over the last couple weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a moment where we were talking about the new content, and you mentioned how the new stuff with the Peter Dinklage robot...
Nolan North?
Okay. Because did you mention at the time that he got replaced?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about that.
He got replaced by Dorothy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I remember hearing, like, oh, yeah, those lines are all fixed now and they're better. I didn't remember hearing that it was a different actor.
Yeah, Nolan North.
I thought he just re-recorded
and
they just replaced him.
Their reason was that of course he wanted to go with Peter Dinklage again because everyone loves him so much.
But he had scheduling conflicts.
At which point, what did you think was going to happen? Yeah.
So we got the voice actor equivalent of a Band-Aid. In all fairness,
he did it way better.
What I mean is that there were no scheduling conflicts. Yeah. You just didn't want to use him again because nobody liked him, so you brought in a Band-Aid.
Because voice acting isn't really always the same as acting.
It's not.
And that, like, leads into that whole fucking...
Performance matters, my friend.
Performance matters thing.
Yeah,
where, long story short, we'll get into details, but, like, voice actors and motion capture actors are like, yo, stop fucking us! We're gonna make a union!
I'll get into a bit of detail, because I wasn't too sure what this was, and then I looked into it a bit, and the gist of the story is really that the contracts that voice actors sign for video games
are bullshit.
Haven't changed since like the mid-90s.
And it's why a lot of voice actors had different names.
Yeah.
They had different aliases.
Cam Clark is listed as James Flinders.
Yeah,
in Metal Gear Solid 1.
He's credited as a completely different name because they have to get around their shitty contracts.
There's all kinds of weird stuff that goes on, but the big ones are really that, like, obviously they're not treated the same as, like, actors in a movie.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're an afterthought. There have been statements from companies that have basically, like, understated the importance of
voice Konami, Jim Position this week is literally
He talked about that.
And one of those things is, like, Konami has the fucking balls to come out repeatedly and say the voice actors don't matter. Here's like a press release of them showing off that they got Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah,
like
and in many cases where, like, obviously it's different from recording something in 1996. Nowadays you get it to the set and they're like, good, put on the mocap suit.
And you're like, but I'm a booth actor. I don't do that shit. They're like, well, you're fired.
Also,
you shouldn't have signed up for the. You know what I mean? And it's like,
also a big difference.
They didn't draw a line between the two.
This game is 90 hours long versus a game in 96, which might have been 6 hours long.
And
that was a big one.
And with over 25 minutes of live-action cutscenes. Yeah.
Like big
part, the DLC.
Big parts of it are about imposing limits on how much voice actors can record.
Per day.
Requirements on being clear on whether they have to do mocap or not, and
just making a distinction between the jobs as separate jobs because they are totally different jobs.
Like you don't even need to think about
Troy
it.
Troy Baker, like, and Nolan North jump to mind as accomplished voice actors and accomplished motion capture artists.
Yeah, for sure.
But not everyone can do both. Some people have wild strengths in one and huge deficiencies in another. Like Melissa Hutchinson's a good example. She could not have fucking done the mocap for goddamn Clementine. She's an adult lady.
Yeah. And one of the other things is about getting small royalties for hitting sales milestones on games, which is like, yeah, that's fair.
Which is exactly what happens in other media.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the Konami thing with Guy Sihi and all the Silent Hill actors for decades was, our deals say royalties. Wasn't and then Konami would go like, no.
Wasn't it Grand Theft Auto 4 where the voice actor was like, this made a bajillion gajillion dollars.
I didn't get paid shit.
No royalties.
I got nothing.
Yeah. It's because it's basically like voice actors in video games that are treated more like staff than they're treated like actors on this project, you know? And so, yeah, the guild, the unions, they all strike, went on strike, and Performance Matters is the hashtag that is like being shared by many voice actors. It's a totally legit story. It's like,
I'm very interested to see what happens, because this is the kind of thing, like, do you remember what happened to the movies when the Writers Guild went on strike?
Yeah, we got
movies got shitty for like a whole year because
we got
Dr. Horrible out of that though.
Yeah, that's true. But it's like, what are we just gonna see an entire calendar year of games that just have the worst voice acting ever?
Oh god, I
because
hope
they're
so.
All going no, to like scabs and first timer.
I really can't feel my body right now.
Yeah.
Sterling uses that example.
Because it's the worst. Like,
yeah.
It's the worst.
Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't mind a year of that.
Suffer no, like
not
Jesus.
1 year. Suffer
or the
like
life
Jesus.
Cycle.
Yeah, fucking has
the
net to
the life. The life cycle life. That must be protected.
That's the best. I'm very interested in seeing what happens. This is one of those inevitable things.
Yeah.
That it will happen for every industry. What I'm more interested, though, is not this. It's like, is this going to push, like, the games business to properly unionize?
Well, guess what, though? This is different in the sense that, unlike the movie situation, here we have, like, the movie, like, with movies, you've got, like, five giant studios and multiple production companies underneath that.
Yeah.
And with video games, it's like an infinite number of studios and production companies. Mm-hmm. So, like, you're going to see restitution, but you're going to see it, like, slowly starting in one company and working
and
its
then
way
you're
across.
Then you're going to start to see shit where it's like, are you part of the what was it called? the guild for voice acting?
SAG.
Voice Actors Guild or what have you. And they're going to be like, if you don't work with Vag,
voice actors guild.
then we'll blacklist you for the future, big company. Yeah. And then that'll be type the thing. Dark era.
There's problems that can happen, but there are also
and there's
benefits,
a couple things in their demands that aren't great. Jim Sterling mentioned one. It's like they said that the super goal is to have the union and the guild and all that, and you can't hire your own staff. You got to hire out of the voice actors
guild. That's
Teamsters. That's like, I can't build my own deck.
Gotta get the
well,
goods.
That's like, Nintendo of America for a long time has been using their localization staff as voice actors.
Yeah. And it's like,
like arbitrarily saying all of a sudden you can't do
the real thing is like indie devs would get slaughtered by that. Like they just can't even afford it.
That's the same as independent film where they just get around.
They just say, fuck it.
And nobody really cares.
Was MGS1 the first game that like credited the voice actors up top at the beginning of the game?
It credits them with the wrong names.
Some of the names are wrong.
Some of the names are right though.
Some of them are right.
David Hayter was
correct.
Yeah. I think it's the first one, as far as I know.
To my knowledge, yes.
Okay.
Well,
because no PC games that I can think of that had more voice actors.
Half-Life 1 was the first PC game to my knowledge to do credits, but that was the development staff. It was not voice.
I remember Fate of Atlantis has an opening credits crawl, so maybe, but I can't remember if they have the voice actors listed.
What do you mean just properly as in like always at the front? Because I'm pretty sure other games must have credited voice actors.
No, he means opening
at the beginning of the game.
Oh, okay. Well, like a movie would.
Yeah,
like a movie would.
Well, that's what, like when actors. I first saw that game running at a friend's house, it went, it's a movie. Blew your mind.
Yeah. Well, before I'd even seen the game, a friend.
Before you seen it,
I sitting in the back of church one Saturday, my friend told me the whole story. While I was just like, I don't understand what you're saying. How is this a video game?
Yeah.
And he's telling me about the conversations and stuff, and I'm like, that's not a game. Like, you're lying.
That is not a created thing. That's made up.
But to continue talking about movies...
Good luck to those folks. I hope they get the most of their demands, and that it works out well for everybody.
I hope it works out well for everybody.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, this is the kind of thing that if they get a bunch of their demands, quality of voice acting will likely increase.
Let's begin the God Blights Liam segment of the podcast.
Hey, Liam, how's your blight?
It doesn't happen too often. The last one was Type Zero,
so
I think.
We're going to start with the saddening of the world... that comes from Guillermo del Toro's Twitter.
Okay, I want to... can I set this up?
Go ahead.
Because this made me want to fucking kill myself twice. That's the... I got it special. And people that know Silent Hill...
It's like...
They got it special. The phrase that I saw that hit me first was that Ito was going to work on Silent Hills. And my brain went, Masahiro Ito... The creature designer from Silent Hill?
Yeah.
Oh my god, that'd be amazing! And then I clicked the link.
The inferior designer.
The inferior Ito.
And then I clicked the link and I was like, no, it was going to be Junji Ito.
Way better.
Twice in like 10 seconds.
Fucking, like... Why'd you even open your mouth, Guillermo?
Why'd you do this?
Well, you should have just shut up.
I was so upset, and then I thought about it a little bit, and I was like, man, Junji Ito's last book sucked. Maybe I'm not as upset as that tweet led me on to believe.
It would have just been the art.
It was worse. It sucks. I tried rereading it.
The collection of short stories?
Yeah. Fragments of Horror.
Fragments of Horror.
I tried rereading it yesterday, and I was like, man, this is his worst work, design and story-wise.
Mm.
I'm still torn, because there's still the chance it could have been his best work ever,
We don't need this trend going onward into the future with, like... Also, Platinum was signed on to do some work on it.
They were going to design the boss fight. Exactly. Just the boss fight.
What was this project?
We had Yoko Kano. She was going to do the music.
Silent Hills was to contain the remainder of Berserk.
I think a person that worked on this type of stuff says these things to, not piss people off, but go, rally even more behind it, and maybe it'll come out. That's the only reason I can see. Because otherwise, it just ruins your day.
I hope, man, if they are able to, everyone's been talking about it, like, oh, hopefully they can come together and make something
happen. They just make a fucking horror game by themselves.
Like, if they can get Junji Ito, and if he can deliver, like, his best work, or, like, equivalent, like, it'd be the scariest fucking thing in the world.
We're getting concept art done by the Vagabond guy.
Yeah.
Just, like, fucking add to the list. I hate that.
Every frame of the game is drawn by the Vagabond guy.
With Junji Ito over his shoulder.
Every possibility is
I can understand, like, being part of that process and wanting to be like, guys, it would have been the greatest.
Yeah, of course.
But
you win things by playing.
Yeah.
Like...
Vanillaware was going to do some cutscenes for them.
Come on, what do you think? How are we supposed to feel, Guillermo? Yeah.
No,
like,
of course.
What do you want from us?
Of course.
Man, he just wants us to feel as sad as he does.
Think like about
that. Greasy Heart.
Like in that, there's so few games that I feel like hit that like perfect grouping. Like it would be like if Yoko Taro had tweeted like, "Oh, the Nier sequel was canceled. Oh, and Platinum was doing the gameplay."
Like later they tweet that out.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's that kind of thing.
Oh my god, dude!
There's so few perfect team ups that ever happen.
We're going to drag Hitchcock's skeleton out of his grave and have him direct the scene.
This canceled Metal Gear game was actually going to be a side story about Cyborg Wright in the future.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Oh
also,
my god. Oh my
it was
god.
Also, it was going to be made by Platinum.
Made by Platinum.
I just realized the
And here's an unreleased soundtrack from the fucking game.
Nami put out that statement that says, we can do Metal Gears without Kojima, right?
Yeah.
And it just hit me. Because I've been very dismissive of that, like, these fucking bullshit No, that's canon. That's part of the main series.
Yeah, so what are you getting at?
No, but that's Platinum. It's different. And Kojima signed off. He was on that team. Shut up. It hit me what game it would have to be. Like, what... And there is one.
There's
and it,
multiple.
And it,
there's
and
many.
And it's the would-be MGS5 from, like, 6-7 years ago.
The in-between Raiden Revengeance?
No, where it's the boss in World War II.
No, I don't want to go there, because you'll
there's
ruin
so
it.
There's so many other places
you
to
will
go
ruin
first.
It.
Kojima might not have. Anyone else would.
But I don't even, like, but like Pat said earlier, I don't even think we...
It's too cool
we
of
didn't
a concept,
even,
you can't do it.
We didn't
justice.
Even need...
That's what that
how do you only...
There's so many other places to
here,
go before
here's
that.
What you, cause here's what you can do. It would. It could probably fix the Cobra unit.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
But
could
add sacrifice to the joy, yeah. And I it's just not
there's really almost no chance you could
Cobra
never
unit don't need to be
justice.
Fixed. Cobra unit's perfect.
Yeah, the Fury. Oof. Oof.
Fury's great, dude.
I don't think so. But.
He's great. He turns into a big,
but I don't know. I think there's a lot of places.
Big skull at the end.
There's a lot of obvious ones like Rising 2, for example, and then like.
Oh my god, I can't say anything.
Like, I'm not even going to list them, but like,
anyway.
You could remake all the other games. You could just remake them on the Fox
Platinum
engine.
Platinum staffer reveals Activision canceled their Spider-Man game.
Wait, is that real?
No, it's not. And then,
oh,
like,
sorry, their Spider-Gwen game. Oh.
There we go. That, we're like, I'm like, Spider-Gwen. Yeah.
Spider-Gwen.
Like, and you could do, like, Acid 3 and stuff. Like, there's other places to
you
go.
You could not,
to.
Though.
Yeah, you could.
No, I mean,
you
don't.
You could, but you shouldn't.
I think they should. You guys didn't even play, though.
No, I
just, sales failures,
I didn't play
them. They sold all right, actually.
Which games
I don't know. The last time I
Acid.
Read about it, they did poorly.
No, they sold
they're
all right.
Cool.
Like...
They're
what do you
cool.
want me to say? Like, they sold better than a lot of Wii U games by Nintendo.
Sure, but I read the last time that they sold poorly.
Ghost Babel 2 before Acid 3. That's what I say.
That's fine. Yeah, that
that's
too.
A
that's
good
a good one.
Too.
So, and then continuing Liam's Blights, we have...
I fear Konami's name on NeoGAF now.
Well, there's some bad news for you this week.
Damn it. Are you at the point now where when you see the word Konami, you just, you're like...
Fuck Konami.
Uh-oh, something bad's gonna happen.
Pull the lever. Pull the lever.
At TGS.
Jesus.
Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Does this have to do with Sony, perchance?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, okay.
Guess what? The climate's not healthy.
So, yeah, I wanna preface this. So, yeah, it was at EGX, and someone asked Shuhei Yoshida, like, hey, Vita 2, when's it happening? And he goes on, and he basically heavily infers that there's no Vita 2 happening.
He's like, nah, man, probably not.
And, like, I see a lot of people saying, like, Liam on Suicide Watch, and all I'm going to say is anyone who thought there was going to be a second one after spring of 2014
crazy.
Was
insane.
Crazy.
Crazy person.
Doesn't it suck to get some confirmation, though?
It's still not...
I mean, it sucks, but it's like anyone, like I knew everyone who everyone
you
who
felt
knew,
it.
Knew it was
you
not
felt it in
well,
your heart.
The only
so,
flame,
like,
then the only handheld flame left becomes Nintendo.
It does.
And
so let's hope they hammer it in the next one.
And if they make a
it's not fading. That's
well,
good. Pull
no,
the lever.
But it's
well,
like,
I mean,
maybe
yeah,
they'll
less,
invest
less
in a device
so.
That'll match the PSP.
Yeah,
you know what
if
I mean.
Exactly.
In our next
if we're
generation.
Lucky, they'll surpass the PSP, a handheld to surpass the PlayStation. Like,
but yeah, and then the reasons why are listed is because of the huge dominance of mobile gaming. So,
like,
yeah.
They're not even wrong. Like, there's so many reasons that like it didn't go great, and I could like talk for an hour. I could talk for hours about it. But like,
the main reason is it's because the system was bad and the games were bad and the developers were lazy when they made Vita games.
Basically, that's for
put the worm on the hook.
I don't think I've seen such like a devastating blow to a platform like from its first year. Like, the Vita's first year
from
was
its creators?
So bad.
Yeah, it was really bad.
No. Just in terms of performance. And
Market
in terms of third parties jumping on and stuff.
Right. It felt like a handheld Wii U.
Kinda, yeah.
Not as bad as the real Wii U.
The performance
but,
was so bad in the
yeah.
first year. Like, there was no recovery to be made. And, a lot of people say, well, Sony should have just made more games. But you look at the sales of the games.
Didn't matter.
They were pathetic.
You didn't matter how many games you threw at it.
Should have had side talking.
Like, it says something when Soul Sacrifice is month one sales matched Killzone's, and they were 46,000 in, like,
It says there's 46,000 people out there like you and me that were buying those games.
Yeah, no, that's
plus
pathetic.
Plus you're going, like, hey, it's the successor to the PSP.
And then the question
that was not
out of
a
the
ginormous
person,
success.
And then the next question is, well, like, oh, can I hack it?
It's
still
better
no,
than the 3DS has. Like,
anyway,
I'm not even a huge PSP fan, but it was a success.
What I mean is that your
PSP is the greatest handheld of all
what
time.
What I mean is that you're hot off the heels of not the biggest, like,
sure.
You're already, like, your expectations
sure,
are already this high.
Monster Hunter
mean.
Could have saved it. That's the only thing.
Were you
and it wouldn't have saved it in the West.
Arguably.
Yeah.
Arguably.
Remember that guy who used to saran wrap his PSP at Dawson?
For protection?
It was good times.
Yeah. No, for sex.
Oh, okay.
It was good
that's
times.
That's protection.
Was that feelings?
No, that wasn't emotions. That
okay.
was someone else.
Feelings.
Emotions. I always get it wrong. I say feelings, he says emotions.
Yeah, it's,
we know who we're talking
no,
about.
No, but it's you gotta get to Beyonce. Come on.
It's a bummer, but like until it actually dies, like mm-hmm. whatever. Like,
yeah, they're gonna release a firmware update that bricks it on purpose.
Oh, Jesus. Fuck.
But like, I don't know, it's still got years ahead of it, so whatever.
I was with someone yesterday when we were going up to a restaurant. It was an Italian restaurant. It was a guy I mentioned to you earlier,
mm-hmm.
and he looks up at the name of the restaurant. The restaurant, I kid you not, was called La Vita, and he goes, this thing that probably has no food.
That's funny.
Okay.
I still think my favorite of those stupid ass console image macros ever was the PS3 at a bar, and he looks at a hot girl. And he goes, hey baby,
one.
How you doing? And she goes, get out of my face. And then PS3 just shrugs and looks at the center of the image, and says, PS3 has no game.
I think that's easily the best one.
Okay,
yeah.
No, what we gotta do is immediately after this podcast, go check out Castle VidCon's and see what they have to say.
God,
what
yeah.
do you mean after this podcast?
Yeah. We can check
I
right now.
Check that
because
in years.
That Castle VidCon's is the final word. Dudes, you're looking on your phones, but it's right here on the screen.
Oh, it's your wallpaper.
Like it's straight up.
If you don't know about Castle VidCon's,
it is the final say on all video game news.
Yeah, no, their last update was June 16th for E3.
Oh, well.
Bummer. Castle VidCon's is the best.
If you haven't read that comic, you should read that comic. It's the fucking sickest.
Every year, it puts out one comic, and
every comic
should drop.
There
itself.
Is one large problem with Castle VidCon's, and it's going to
it's
it
that they
now,
don't update.
And it's that it's out of pace with events.
Yeah.
So, like, there will be this amazing, like, the fucking King Nintendo kills his former wife, the DS Lite, like, gag, but you don't quite get it because the new 3DS hasn't just been announced, like, 2 days
earlier. Like, this is, like, still an FF7 remake.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
What I mean? No, it's the Perry Bible Fellowship of
video
game
web absolutely.
Comics.
It's fantastic.
You know, not going to get better, but you're not going to get an update either.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people keep linking me this this bad Kotaku article by Jason Schreier that's like...
Wow, those two things go hand in hand.
And stop
what's
linking that. That article sucks.
What's it about?
It's just about the Vita statements.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's about that. And it's like, this is why Sony killed the Vita. And it's like... Yeah, I think it's like 60-70% on Sony's plate, but your reasons are the wrong ones.
Mm-hmm.
So
the reasons is because people didn't buy it.
Well, there's that, but there's all like there's a lot of reasons, and for some reason he's listing the wrong ones, and it's like, why didn't you research? Oh, right.
You clicked on it.
Yeah, I did. I was the one who
should have just
stressed.
Read the.
You
the
were in the wrong.
The Kotaku review of sex instead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was.
What was the what? How they rated?
I don't fucking know. I didn't click.
They
on
They said
that
it
shit.
Takes a lot of energy. I don't know.
It does.
But they wrote a review.
They wrote a review on sex.
Isn't that kind of a broad topic?
A little bit.
What
has a lot to do with video games too.
Yeah. Well,
if anything, your mileage will vary with this activity.
So you know that you know that episode of TNG where it finds out that Barclay's been having sex with holodeck versions of all of the bridge staff.
Yeah.
We're like a couple years from that in the real world. With the creepy Oculus porn and the sex robots?
Farewell, real world.
That's going to be awkward when, like...
Don't you want to go to church? No, I want to make out with my Marilyn Monroe bot.
There it is.
I like how you're saying that, but I can hear in your voice...
Quivering anticipation.
I can hear it!
Just kill me now.
Quivering.
The fucking bank account is ready.
I need to take side photos of your head.
No, not those.
Yeah.
Wasn't that going to be the scariest thing?
No,
where
not
people
those.
Aren't trying to get upskirt or fucking bra shots. People are walking on the street and trying to stand perfectly next to you to get a fucking side mugshot. Oh, God. The future's horrible.
Oculus support for Source Filmmaker coming soon.
Yeah, there it is.
We're all done. Prometheus 2 is called Alien Paradise Lost.
This didn't make enough money. We need to put Alien in the title now.
More importantly, blah, 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 Ridley is specifically making sure that Alien 5 cannot come out until this comes out first. And that is annoying, but it's like, you know what? Let the shit hit the fan, and
Is it referred to as Alien 5 in that text?
Yes, right now, I think.
Yeah, it's the Neil Blomkamp movie.
How... Alien 5 is, like, being explicitly created as a new Alien 3, and they're calling it Alien 5?
No, just right now, that's all that's
the Neil Blomkamp movie?
It erases 3 and Resurrection from history.
Remember that we talked about that?
Yeah, they're calling it 5.
That's dumb.
Should they call it Aliens 2?
They should call it Aliens.
Should we go Rambo Aliens on this and call it an Alien?
It should be called We Hired Michael Biehn Back.
Here are the Aliens.
You know he's in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna reprise his role as Hicks. Yeah.
Sick.
Even though he died.
That part where I got fucked up by Steel Beam, that was bullshit.
Oh, wait, no, he didn't die. Colonial Marines told us he didn't die. He didn't die.
Yeah. He died in
Randy Pitchford told me Alien 3 wasn't canon.
In the beginning of 3, yeah.
I was ready to believe him.
No, Alien said no.
Didn't happen.
Colonial Marines said no. He survived.
He died from something else.
Just Benny Hill themed that in reverse all the way back up to
that
space.
That probably sounds horrific.
I mean, look.
You know what they're doing? I hit this in me on the head. They're trying to make the Alien cinematic universe now.
Exactly. And,
which just brings the bile back.
Paradise Lost is a reference to John Milton's epic poem called the same thing.
Yep.
And it's obviously, like, based on the fact that the last movie had the audacity to set itself up for a sequel, we know that this is going to be on the other...
The continuing adventures of Lisbeth Salander and her head.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you know what? It's not that that can't be a bad movie, because Michael Fassbender was probably the best part of that film.
Yeah.
He'd be a great talking head.
But I'm running... I don't have faith in Ridley Scott anymore. And that fucking hurts to say.
Back up a little bit. Ridley Scott, very, very spotty track record, but I still chalk up Prometheus.
Was that Lindelof's fault?
It's mostly his fault.
But...
He was the writer, and he actually, like, goes on Twitter and argues with people, like, no, I wrote a good movie, you shut up.
Because what I remember in the fallout that right after it came out was that everyone was saying, oh, we just gotta wait for the director's cut, you know.
You were saying that!
Exactly, like, the Kingdom of Heaven style,
that
right?
was you!
And then it was like,
Kingdom of Heaven was written, the movie screenplay was written by the guy that wrote the English version of The Departed.
Okay.
He's a good writer. Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong.
But Ridley Scott has the problem was just that Ridley Scott basically came out and went, no, I'm happy with this. That's the movie
I want. No, that's what I'm going to say.
There was no extra footage. There was nothing, you know.
But at the end of the day, he's a director, and he'll look at a script and go, yeah, sure. Like, I can do this. Mm. He has a director's mind. He doesn't really think about does this actually make sense all that much. I can film this, no problem. Yeah, I've done this type of stuff before. But I think it mostly comes down to a writer. And Darren Lindelof or whatever has been linked to a lot of terribly failed writing jobs.
Well, he wrote Lost, right?
Yeah.
It's just your franchise, your cinematic universe has more shit in it currently than quality.
A lot more.
And that's fucking, like, you gotta salvage that.
Yeah,
Neil Blomkamp is a good step, but really, Prometheus 2, does that have to happen? You know, like...
It did make money. Like, it didn't, you know, didn't fail.
Watch It comes out and it becomes your favorite movie.
Children of Who?
Yeah.
Here's my fear. I fear that they will make this movie in response to Prometheus's problems.
In order to fix it?
The opposite problems. In that it's like, look, it's the alien. Oh, there's a predator. Oh, so and it's like, just overdo it to
the But the cool extreme. Part of the mystery of Prometheus going into it was that we didn't even know if it was connected or not. And then it was like, it might be.
At first it wasn't going, it was going to be heavily. Then they were like, no, let's pull it back.
And then it is in a way that makes no sense at all.
And ruins.
That's why I'm glad that Predator is not actually being included in this, and that Predator 3 or 4, whatever they're going to call it, is its own separate entity written by a completely different guy.
But if they breathe the word Yutani anywhere... Then you know it's happening. They might try to make it up. Anyway. What else happened this week? We had there's that interview with Spike Chunsoft's dude, and he had a lot of things to say for like the new Danganronpa.
Because it's not
a portable game anymore. He wants to add like new mechanics, and I'm like, what does that mean?
I mean, ultimately, it's still going to be the same game on both platforms. Who knows? Yeah.
You mentioned
I don't know.
The other thing is that he mentioned that as a company, they're focusing on NX, PS4, and Steam.
Well, in the future, he said.
Yeah, which exactly. is interesting.
I mean, it makes sense.
Put Dangan on Steam.
Because, like, what else are you going to
Where are you
going to
go
right?
for
like,
as a Japanese
in,
company?
In, like, 3 years' time, like, what platforms are you going to make stuff for? Wii U's not going to exist. Vita's going to be kind of, if not done, on its last legs in Japan. And so, like, you know, got nowhere else to go. PC,
man.
PC. PS4, hopefully NX will be the only things in Japan.
And it also sounds...
Because 3DS is also gonna...
Yeah.
Nintendo's gonna, like, forcibly sunset that as they transition into whatever their NX platform is.
And it also... It sounds like VR was more than just a test, you know? Like, it's something that...
Yeah, he says, like, they don't have anything concrete right now. But
they're actually, like, they're looking into it seriously, so...
I liked his bit about The Witcher, because Spike Chunsoft, they localize a lot of games into Japanese, like Darksiders and The Witcher.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I liked the bit where he was talking about how they really wanted... They were kind of asking CD Projekt to do a PS3 version of Witcher 2. And they said Witcher 2 was a huge failure for us in Japan because it was only on 360. And they were like, but we loved it so much, we stuck with it. And Witcher 3 worked out really well.
The tech, though, right? Like, those...
Yeah,
that,
no,
that,
exactly.
They really, like squeezed blood out of a stone on that port.
Yeah, for
and,
sure.
And, like, to do that on both would have been, like...
No, I'm not saying they should have.
Yeah,
I'm
but it's this cool little nice thing.
I liked Spike's stick-to-itiveness, where now, like, The Witcher 3 was a big hit in Japan. So.
Yeah, they're like, we like it enough that we're going to
we'll stomach this, exactly. You know. So I like those guys a lot. They're really cool. Good company.
This got me excited. Obviously, you're way more into Yakuza.
Oh, yeah,
like,
I know. This got me excited,
too. The fucking little teaser, and it's like, is that Beat Takeshi?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
It is.
See, here's the thing, Wooly. You are more excited than me.
Oh, no. Really?
Don't feel it.
All right.
Don't feel it until...
Until it's here?
Until it's here.
Until it's here.
Not All even right. until it's announced. Like, the Yakuza 5 excitement that I felt, that was a mistake. That was stupid. It'll probably work out fine. Probably. But they could always cancel it out of spite.
For you.
Yes. Don't be excited.
But Beat Takeshi's in it,
Beat
though.
Takeshi's in
He's
it.
He's, like, an amazing actor and stuff. And he famously said he hated video games, so this is significant.
I want to see him dub himself in English.
Boss, Wooly, the boss is in Project Cross Zone 2.
Yeah, right. Sure.
Don't get excited.
Don't buy Project Cross Zone 2, it's a trap.
Project Cross Zone 2, you fool me twice.
That's the subtitle.
You can't fool me again.
I'm going to go to EB Games and Sharpie that onto the cover.
There is a... This is more for you, Matt. There's a $300 Sahelanthropus figure on its way. So... And it does transform.
Sorry.
Wait, Sahelanthropus...
Matt didn't get that far.
Oh. Sorry. The Metal Gear from Metal Gear 5.
Well, you know, I've seen that before.
Okay, yeah.
I saw screenshots.
It's called Sahelanthropus.
Okay, I didn't know its name.
Okay.
It's sick.
It's really cool.
No, because it
transforms.
Looks like an orbital frame.
It's like a big, tall Rex.
Yeah. And so they're making the full $300.
It's
like,
a JOT with a Rex head.
Yeah, exactly. It's so dumb. I love it.
Its weapon loadout is fucking closer to an orbital frame.
Yeah,
than
no, yeah it's, definitely. It's goofy. It's
and
really
it can
goofy.
Jump? I mean, what the fuck?
It's got the little orbs.
Legs that allow it to go anywhere. Like these!
Nice shoes.
We've got...
Thank you.
A bit of news... with Gene Ibunroku FE.
Yeah, Sharp FE, yeah.
The Fire Emblem Cross Shin Megami Tensei project. And they just released a couple of...
Tharge is in it, fuck it.
Exactly. Well, more... It seems like stands are in it.
Yeah. The Fire Emblem characters are stands.
They're personas.
You call in your personas, yeah. But is that the entirety of, like, the Fire Emblem content?
Probably.
Is going to be, like, just bringing them in?
Well, no, there's the weapon triangle and stuff. Like, they spoke about that.
Oh, okay, I'm not...
Swords beat axes, beats lance.
Okay.
Beats swords.
That's crazy.
Like, there's the weapon triangle, and you can see the class influence on the...
And honestly, that system is very similar to the Persona and SMT systems.
Because that's in there, too.
Oh, what?
So, you gotta watch both of those.
What?
So, like, will Mirages be the, like, quote-unquote demons?
It seems like they're, like, yes, but not like regular enemies. You know, it seems like they're a bit more special than that.
Okay.
As if each demon in a Persona game were not a Persona. You know what I mean? Like, there's only special ones, like Izanagi and this and that. Like, you can't just use, like, Kukulin as your persona, is what I'm saying. You get what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
Like, Virion and Tharja aren't... It seems like they're not going to be regular enemies. They're going to be special.
Fuse Roy with the dick one.
Mara.
Mara.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Never forget about
Fire
Mara.
Dick.
Yeah,
go.
Roy sucks.
Roy's
so overrated, it's crazy.
He's got a fire sword!
Because he was in Melee.
He's
and because nobody
fire.
Knows any
he's
better.
He's got the fire.
That's like, not why he's
Roy's
overrated.
Roy's so overrated.
He's overrated for the same reasons that people like Ken. It's exactly the same.
No,
he's,
Ken's cooler.
No,
relatively
but he's
speaking.
The Americaner lookinger one, and he has fire on his stuff.
But the problem,
yeah.
the problem
like
with that...
It's Wheeler!
Plant.
It is
it's
Wheeler.
Like, what was the localized Fire Emblem game? It was the one with his dad, and his dad Dad's way cooler.
Elliewood?
That's the problem. Elliewood's way better than Roy. So,
Mart's
Roy's
got that
super
little hair
overrated.
Band, and people don't like hair bands.
Mart's cool. Mart's actually.
If Elliewood was in Smash, then that'd be the case.
Yeah, no, exactly.
What do you
but
want
like,
to do
with it? Elliewood didn't exist really yet, so.
There's and it's nothing to really say, but like the slow drip of KI Season 3 news begins this week.
Yeah,
so
weird.
I bet you, as soon as this podcast goes up, you're going to know whatever that means.
There's a new
Gargos and Idol, or a dual. Blaze Blue style Carl Clover boss character.
Probably. And it's gonna be awful. But if you're bringing back Kim Woo,
Gargos
and
Idol standing
else,
on his
the
hand,
only,
why
the,
not?
The only way to play as Gargos and Idol together is to use two arcade sticks. And
oh, God,
as Keith cackles in the background.
Yeah, he's like, it's totally balanced.
And I want them to still be claymation.
Is. Yeah.
That'd be great.
That's how you do it.
Mm. Idol's terrible.
You have to use a DDR pad for his feet.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
And the stick for his hands.
Yeah, that's right.
I lie. It was a slow news week, so there's like very little going on. But there was the Assassin's Creed Syndicate story trailer, where you basically tuned in and went, oh, okay, Gangs of New York.
Gangs of New York, that's what we're looking at. But
Gangs
they're in Europe.
But in before the New York, in Europe, obviously.
There was some rumblings out of videogamer.com that implied that Syndicate is going to be just as fucked up as Unity.
Which is a bummer.
Based on
game.
Based on Assassin's Creed.
Okay.
It was implied that one of the guys knew a guy who told him, like, oh, I can tell you how fucked up.
Oh, boy.
I wish we knew a guy who knew a guy, considering we live in Montreal. It's embarrassing.
But it's the second iteration of the thing you've already done, so it's supposed to be the better good one.
Yeah, like, I enjoyed Unity, but, like, 2 years in a row of that, like,
made by a different...
That's no good.
Delay it.
Syndicate's made by Ubisoft Quebec.
And it had 3 years. It was in development for 3 years, I believe. So it's like, oof, that's not...
Well, this is their Call of Duty switch off team thing.
That's correct.
And I believe this is their first off year.
It's the only one. It's the only way to get that stuff going every year
at that pace.
Like Call of Duty switched to the three-year team a little while ago.
Yeah, and it seems like the quality improvement is going to be huge. Just looking at Black Ops 3 zombie campaign, holy shit! Did you see that?
No. I did not. What's the difference?
The zombie campaign in Black Ops 3 is just like the other ones, like, you know, there's the alien campaign and stuff. So this one takes place in the 1940s, right? and you get to play as these four archetype characters. I can't wait to play as the boxer. He's fucking cool. You got the boxer, you got the damsel, like
are they celebrities like in the past?
I believe so. Okay. And like boy, the production value is celebrities. Awesome.
But
like,
they're not actually celebrities.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Let me pull that shit up.
Not it's many like, 1940s celebrities that you can have to come back and record some.
No, exactly. No, you just get the cast of Mad Men and
just
then
get Hitler like, and call it a day, right?
Exactly,
yeah,
you know,
just get Hitler. But that doesn't sound too different from. Wasn't there a zombie campaign for World at War?
All the Treyarch ones have zombie campaigns.
Yeah,
yeah.
So yes.
But they've been building them up, and now they have stories and shit.
Yeah.
So, like, they're really quite impressive.
So, I think the biggest knock I can put against the Black Ops zombie modes is that it's not as good as Killing Floor.
Sure.
Because
yeah, that's fair.
That's what those modes are. They are straight up the game Killing Floor, but Killing Floor is only that game.
Dedicated.
And so it's much better.
It's Jeff Goldblum, Heather Graham, Neil McDonough. Ron Perlman and Robert Picardo.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, Robert Picardo. Like,
they've always
had. Yeah, it's called Shadows of Evil.
Like they have a. They have a.
The magician, the femme fatale, the cop, and the boxer.
They have a precedent
to maintain. And they have
to
fight the mastermind, the mysterious Shadow Man.
Because who was it before? Before wasn't it Danny Trejo, Buffy?
Yeah.
Romero was the zombie.
Romero, yeah.
Yeah, and I want to say what's his name for Men in Black?
Black guy.
Will Smith.
No.
Jaden Smith.
No.
Jaden Pinkett Smith.
White guy.
Tommy Lee Jones?
Wasn't Tommy Lee Jones in
one
of them?
I don't think so. In a Call of Duty game?
He's a federal marshal.
I thought he was in a...
Federal marshal.
Oh, man. You remember that part in fucking Fugitive where he's like, I didn't kill my wife? And he's like, I don't care.
Yeah. I don't care.
It's the best.
And then, I don't care.
And he jumps off the fucking dam and is a shitty looking dummy.
Like, it's not good enough to ship two games. We have to ship two games with completely different art. You know what I mean? Like,
if you're splitting
crazy.
Your team across,
yeah.
You should be working on totally different environments.
No,
absolutely.
I mean that they have the Black Ops 3 single player co-op Deus Ex campaign,
okay.
Then they have the
House of the Dead Overkill
multiplayer
shit.
1940s.
I thought you were going back to Assassin's Creed. Sorry.
No, sorry. Yeah, like it's fucking crazy. Did you see how the PS3 and 360 versions of Call of Duty Black Ops 3? Are going to ship without the campaign because
yeah.
I mean, I guess they don't think they can handle it. It's the four-player co-op Deus Ex-y campaign.
I would love to see the sales data on that shit.
It's going to be huge.
Because they've said, people have been saying it for years and years and years for Call of Duty and Battlefield. Like, just sell the fucking multiplayer. Just the multiplayer.
So it's going to be the multiplayer, and I think the zombie campaign's also included.
It's going
to
be
and
huge.
I would gladly take $10 off my Battlefield purchase to not have that single player.
The trade-off is it's $10 cheaper, and it comes with Black Ops, and I think just the first Black Ops is an Xbox 360 downloadable.
I don't
or
think
a PS3
product
downloadable.
That gives people less options than the most optimal one.
No, definitely not, but it's interesting how,
like
yeah,
that's
I'm the solution.
I'm interested to see if that is a solution, but...
I think they should have always had it that way.
I can see it where they have it like they have it outsourced to another company, right, to do the port like they usually do for the last gen ones. And I can see like the difficulty of testing 2 4-player multiplayer games at the same time on 2 different platforms. Like that's
but
a hard thing to ship.
If any project
has Call of Duty
budget.
For sure.
Oof.
No, I agree.
Because I remember Destructoid...
But you look at the environments and stuff, and you're like, wow, they're actually really big. Like, they're not just detailed.
Destructoid
like,
had an article
huge.
About this, and then it said, we'll not ship with single player. And, like, there were, like, 500 comments, and they're like, well, another game I won't bother buying. I was like, I love the multiplayer of these games, but for a company to go, you don't know.
Yeah, it was
just saying no to me.
I think they should cut the price
article.
In half.
Because it started a discussion about, like, okay, how do you feel about games with no single-player content?
I would argue that it does have 2/3, not half.
Sure.
So I would say 2/3.
Fair.
Yeah.
But it's always, that happened over the last gen, the 360 PS3 generation, where with Battlefield and Call of Duty, it became more and more obvious that those games have 2 audiences.
Yeah.
Not 3. Not there's no 3rd audience that loves both the single-player and the multiplayer. That's like 10 guys.
There's the guys who rent it and play through the single player.
And then there's the guys who fucking play the multiplayer
all
the time.
It always sucks when there's no single player, I say. But if you're going to ship it with none, the only thing, to me, you need to be at the level that Titanfall is at now. The level Titanfall shipped with was not, like, not okay. The level that they got to after adding all the good shit, that's what you need to ship with.
I think they're gonna be, because the Zombies campaign, like, seems like it's a full fucking full-fledged thing of its own accord, but, like, yeah.
I also read out Ubisoft announced that Rainbow Six Siege is also not gonna have a single-player campaign.
Yeah, and on any version, yeah. Which is quite something.
So then what's the point of, what's her name?
The meat flag?
The actress.
Hillary Clinton?
Whatever, Maya Angelou. I don't know, whatever.
Angela Bassett.
She's in there for the opening cutscene, and that's probably, it, I guess.
I don't know. But yeah, no campaign confirmed for that. It's interesting, but I guess that's
honestly,
what the
that's
game would have been the whole
to
time.
Me. Yeah. Because, like, with Battlefield 4 in particular, it was like, you guys just made this whole fucking campaign so you could have trailers.
Yeah.
Like, when you played it, you came away from it was
dude,
so
the campaign sucked in
it, it was so obvious. It's like the entire reason you built this entire campaign is so that you would have trailers.
Yeah. The old
it all went to the multiplayer.
The old Rainbow Six games were just menu into mission.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely.
And that there was no story.
Yeah, no, this is like clearly just a multiplayer take on it. Mm-hmm. It still looks really good, but I for with no campaign, I don't think I'm going to get into it.
I want those matches to be incredibly short and infuriating.
I got a beta code, actually, so I'm going to try it, but We'll see.
Piece of cool news. There's a new Assault Suit Leynos game.
Yeah, that was announced a while ago. Yeah,
so we have a trailer for it now. Like, and you can see like a pretty in depth thing at how the game is looking. And I looked at it and I was like, this is weird because it looks like, you know, Valken and
what you'd expect.
Cybernator,
yeah,
right, which is all that stuff Cybernator. That looks like a Metal Warriors type mecha.
Yeah, with the fat mecha.
And I was seeing it, but I'm like, but this looks a lot like that game we took a look at the other day, Gunhound.
Gunhound.
It's like, it turns out they gave the franchise to those guys.
Which is why it looks just like
that. And
it
looks
yeah.
like that. And it's like, okay, I can see that.
It seems like the right guys nowadays.
They're the ones that are making it.
Exactly.
They got the spiritual successor going, so I want to check that out.
Speaking of that game, did you see the trailer for for Earth Wars on PS4 and Xbox One? It's a 2D
action
game.
Don't you fucking get a sick one.
No.
It's a 2D action game that has really nice art, but it has, like, shitty VanillaWare animation style.
Yeah,
looks really, really, really stiff, but it looks really, really
What's
pretty.
What's it called again?
Earth Wars. I think it has a slightly longer, like, title, subtitle.
Okay.
But yeah, Earth
yeah,
Wars. You should,
look
at that. I think you'd find it cool.
It's
stiff. It's not the VanillaWare ripoff thing that we were looking at the other day.
No, this is similar, but it's a different game, I
okay.
believe.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a different thing entirely.
And 13 I guess going to come out. What?
Yeah, it is.
It's a robot.
Dude, the 3D models look ridiculous. I can't even describe, like, the texture work on the 3D in that game
is insane.
Does anyone
know what kind of game that
game is? Nobody really knows.
We don't know.
So, what needs to happen?
We're hearing that
it will
ship with no single player campaign.
Look, it will be a side-scroller until you reach an enemy and then something will happen.
No.
I was going to say, it will be a side-scroller and you will do all the content 13 times.
No. It has to be so... It's got to be Front Mission 3. That's what's got
to
be.
It's actually hard to say, because they're making those nice 3D models, so
who
knows?
But you're right, though, because the prettier the game looks, the more you're going to look at that shit.
The more times you're going
to
play.
They're not going to have enough money to fucking spread it out.
Yeah, exactly.
VanillaWare proudly presents with their original vision, this will ship with no single-player campaign.
You know, Dragon's Crown was such a runaway hit for them. Like, it did amazingly
as
well.
As it should.
Yeah. And
thanks,
by far their best performing game, so I'm sure Atlas is giving them a heftier budget to work with. They were working with a small budget, but it was kind of because the team was so small. They're only like 12 people, but like I'm sure that they're getting supported way harder, which is why this game looks as good as it does. Plus they're doing Odin Sphere on the side.
Yes,
which is like,
but are you going to be able to do butt drops though?
Because here's the thing.
Here's
if they open. Take a look at it and they go, all right, we have 3.5 hours of content.
Yeah. I would rather you ship that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, for once in your lives, just go, you know what? Fuck it.
Yeah.
Ship that.
Ship it.
Don't
put a $70 price tag on it.
Don't fucking grab the MSG spoon and just start mixing it in.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that sours the taste in our
mouths.
Let me
have it raw.
You know?
Yeah.
You don't want to walk away with that feeling of
damn it,
VanillaWare Magic tainted by I never got to the real ending.
The problem with VanillaWare Magic is the spell takes 40 hours to cast. Like,
I
should. Okay, have you played? You've played Mirror Master to completion?
No, I didn't beat it.
Okay, but you played.
I didn't beat it.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
You should legit, go buy a Vita copy of...
And play the extra chapters?
And play the extra chapters. Because
they're short.
They are short.
And good, right?
And they're better than the main... Dude, they're better than the main game.
I know.
It's an entire other Vanillaware game that nobody talks about, and it's so good.
Good. Thanks for reminding me.
And you can just pick and choose whichever one looks good to you.
I tried really hard to beat Muramasa.
Yeah. I think we all did.
We all did.
No, I beat it.
I think.
Oh, you finished it?
Well, I said it. No one.
Both campaigns.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you at all.
Both campaigns.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's cool. Because
as our shmup god Pat was like,
you're a hero.
Need to do
you
this.
Are a hero. Yeah.
You need to do this, and like he helped me.
Right.
Like mainline to what I wanted.
You should go play the DLC campaigns because they're really good.
Part of my fire. Part of my fire was quelled because I had the raw version first, and I was playing it in Japanese, just dicking around.
Oh yeah, you do have a copy of that.
For a long
time. Me
too.
Yeah.
Then I was like, I guess I'll retread this in English.
Yeah. No, I only played it in English.
Plus that game got translated too well.
Yeah.
It translated so literally that the story makes no sense. I'd rather have them made up a story.
Because you don't know these Japanese demon histories.
Because exactly.
But did you see the Vita version? They retranslated it. And they fixed it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's
you didn't know about the butthole eyeball demon?
It's better, but it's
what?
Like... I'd rather them made up their own story from start to finish.
I hear you, but they did fix the localization.
I saw comparison screenshots.
The
Pokemon
with your butthole
eyeball.
Yeah, no, you're right. I had forgotten that the Wii version had that
weird translation,
quote unquote, issue. Yeah,
and I love the fact that like everyone in a desperate like reach to grab any part of F-Zero's guts and eat it and consume it for themselves.
Yeah.
Fast Racing Neo now has the announcer guy from F-Zero GX.
Yeah,
as I retweeted this announcement.
But that's forgotten memories.
Yeah.
No, I think that's F-Zero X.
That's F-Zero X, but yeah.
I forget what F-Zero GX sounds like, actually.
It's deeper. Way deeper. I couldn't do it.
I don't know what it sounds like.
Okay.
Well, sounds faster.
Look it up. It's a lot like Forgotten Memories announcing Guy C.
Yeah.
As
but dude, it's
actor.
Like... Dude,
definitely, exactly.
It's like
that.
It's like Junko, man. It's just like, grab whatever you can and take it for yourself.
Yeah. I really
looking
forward to that game, but I doubt
it
it's going to come out this year. Because they're saying like December, and I'm like, oh, you mean February?
Yeah, exactly.
December is not a
You mean
month.
December 2017, Shenan?
Yeah.
At least they're not Nicalis. Did you see we finally got... So, Legend of the Raven, finally coming out in, like...
Oh, really?
Attack on Cataclysm?
In, like, November on Vita and PS4 in Japan. Not Attack on Cataclysm. Way to go, Nicalis.
What?
They're
not
releasing...
Not the updated version.
They're releasing Second Impact.
They're releasing Vanilla.
After the release of Third Strike.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then what came out on
because
Steam?
That was the
one that the Indiegogo campaign was for.
Because they didn't. They only licensed
the original
game.
And they've taken
and the creators continued.
And now it is coming out in Japan this year.
I still think this is the most confusing thing in the fucking
world.
So
here's what
very
it is. It's stupid.
No, don't tell me.
Yeah.
We all
I
know
always
it.
Forget.
Yeah.
You explained it when we did the video, but I still don't understand.
Nicalis was like, we want this. And it's like, okay, but we're going to keep working on it. Fine. And Nicalis took way too long, and the original dev team was like, well, now we have the updated amazing version. And Nicalis is like, well, here's Vanilla.
And it's a bummer, because it's I want that on my Vita. But I don't want that.
No.
I still think the most embarrassing is, like I think it was 4 or 5 months ago, where Arxis just released, like, Calamity Trigger on Steam.
Well, or recently when they were teasing a fighter and everyone was like, it's Exard, and then it was fucking Battle Fantasia Plus.
Yes!
And it's like, who?
Yeah.
Literally, who was asking for Battle Fantasia?
Open the door and toss a scrap out to the peasants.
Battle Fantasia is like this weird...
It's a good game,
this weird,
but nobody cares.
It is a good-ass game.
Yeah.
It is
Capcom going,
you know,
new fighter coming up, start
Battle
Ready.
Battle Fantasia, to me, represents Wooly and I's desperation for Street Fighter 4 stuff.
Yeah.
Dude,
because he had found
some shitty quality
videos of some dude in Japan playing the two shittiest looking characters in the game for 100 matches.
Yeah.
And this
was recorded on a phone.
Like,
of course it was.
And we were just like, that's the kind of animation Street Fighter will probably use.
This is because it was the Taito Type
S2. It was the same board.
It was the same board. And it was like anything.
Yeah,
best thing to latch onto.
Yes.
Have you seen the NX thread on NeoGAF? It's approaching 100 pages. There is nothing going on in there.
What if it? What if my phone's polka go wristwatch?
Exactly.
I just remember us looking at those videos, going, "Is that 2D? Is that no? That's 3D.
What is this?"
And I was just like, "Oh, what?" And you were just staring at it. You weren't replying to me.
And then sitting there with the dork girls, just being like, "Okay, no, wait, hold on, though.
Yeah,
hold on. That lighting is too good. That can't be a sprite
because you're watching it at the lowest possible resolution.
It's doing super triggers.
Then again,
you're watching it at 180p."
But yeah, I will say, but nothing can, nothing compares though to the first time the KOF 12 trailer popped up, and it was like, those are not sprites. I don't care what anyone says, they're sprites. Fuck.
That was a special one.
Fuck everything. You're lying.
And now we have shitty looking PS2 models.
Yeah.
They're way, like, in all fairness, they are way better than the PS2 could do.
But they're way worse than a PS2.
I remember being wowed by Tekken Tag Tournament. Like original.
Oh, yeah.
Because it looks great, yeah.
And I feel like this is where we are.
There's no pain like King of Fighters 14 pain.
Can we just call it King of Fighters China?
Yes.
That's what it is to me right now.
Cough, China, cough.
China joy.
And lastly, I just want to call attention to this video that Clickhole put out called Progress! This video game's protagonist is a deaf woman, and it's just a review of Sonic the Hedgehog 2. And it's just like,
Sonic
the
Hedgehog.
Argue anything to say that it's not. Go watch it, and it's like, Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is a deaf woman, and you can't say otherwise. Prove it. It's great. It's really progressive.
Clickhole is a really fantastic
website.
Those guys are great.
Dude, I lost my shit. It's so good.
I'm so glad that it's portraying deaf women that they can jump
and run and do things faster
than a regular non-deaf woman can do.
It's way faster than the counterparts.
Do those big-ass loop-de-loops.
Yep.
You know? The downside is that, like, your partner just kind of does nothing.
Have you ever thought that we can just make fun of deaf people as much as we want on this podcast?
Especially the deaf
Until
Amish.
Until somebody starts doing the conversion.
No, but they're all in on the joke too, right, guys?
Yeah.
Alright, I'm gonna wheel my chair slightly away from Liam.
If you've got complaints, please send them too.
As you kickstart fucking Hitler coming back.
Master D plan.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, you know what? I love...
Oh, that's right. You like poisoning cats.
Last week was the first week since Aryan Resurrection.
Yeah.
That we had mass comments and Twitter messages like, guys, I listened to this podcast at work. Oh, God.
Mission accomplished.
Like, yes. That was the point.
Send your complaints to superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
That's superbestfriendcast@gmail.com. You want to complain?
Don't actually send your complaints there, though. I mean, why?
I mean, you have.
We're just going to laugh at them.
No, send them to Takahata at whatever his email is. Yeah. I don't even know
I bet you he'd still answer them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he would. He'd pretend.
He'd be like, oh, yeah.
He'd sign with your name.
He's like, yeah, you know what? That podcast was terrible.
He'd reply in Steiner voice.
Yeah.
You'd get a letter sounding a little something like this coming in from Mark.
Mark, what do you have to complain about?
Hey, best friends, Mark here. Just wanted to know what your thoughts were on collectible items as replay value. To me, personally, in games like Ass Creed and Ground Zeroes, when I finish the main meat, I find collecting items dull and not fun. At that point, I stop the game, and it usually ruins some games for me when it's mandatory, or like things like collecting cog tags in Gears of War.
Okay.
Do you feel that collectible items are a good incentive for side content?
I think
Mark's completely right.
I think
that the vast majority of those kinds of collectibles are terrible.
I think context is everything, because I think, like, the King's Flags in Assassin's Creed were the worst.
They're the worst ever.
Yeah. And,
there's no question.
And the feathers, and this, that, and the other, all those Assassin's Creed.
The feathers is the worst because they told you something would happen.
Your incentive was to have your mother talk again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And nobody gave a fuck.
Like, that shit sucks. In Ground Zeroes, I was so okay with it because Camp Omega's this big.
Yeah.
And you turn on your night vision goggles
and there
you
it is.
See them.
Yeah.
And like
better to have like lots of stuff in a small confined area
to make it dense. Yeah.
Also the reward was worth it.
Yeah. Oh my god, was it ever worth it?
You needed
it.
Dude, right?
Playing Ground Zeroes without playing Deja Vu and Jamais Vu.
What are you doing?
You didn't even play the game.
And the other thing is, like, it's when the incentive is strong enough, it doesn't feel like a chore.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
other thing to me that's, like, equally.
But nobody wants to gate off good content like
that. The best fucking collectible side content ever, in my opinion, was Thousand Years of Memories in Lost Odyssey.
In Lost Odyssey,
because
right?
they're short stories that are better than the main game.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, totally.
So there's two parts to this. One, your incentive to do all of them has to be significant, and yeah. it has to be worthwhile. It has to be for real. The second thing is that even if you don't get to that all of them goal, mm-hmm. they should each be worthwhile on their own merits.
And I would argue
a flag or a feather or fucking whatever bullshit. A story
yeah.
that if all you find is that one collectible and it's a story, that still had value that, for you.
I agree. That said, the abuse of Intel dossiers
is
has
the worst.
Hit critical mass.
Yes, you're totally
I
right.
I will never read another Intel Here, dossier
here's
ever.
Here's how many
in my
collectibles
life.
Your entire game should have. 20.
Yeah.
And they should all be a cool little thing.
I think if you've got like 10 good ones, go ahead and tie a trophy to that. But if you got 200 and they're nothing and the only reward is a trophy or achievement, fuck
off. I'm sure I've told this story before, but like Arkham City is the game that completely broke achievements for me forever because of the fucking Riddler trophies.
See, I got every Riddler trophy in Arkham Asylum.
Sure did.
Because
yeah.
a lot like Camp Omega, mm-hmm. it's not that bad.
It's just dense, and they're all and a lot
the
of them have
yeah.
little cool things
and
about
Arkham
them.
And Arkham City is also where I went, fuck this, fuck Riddler trophies for
fuck
life.
It forever.
And I tried to get them in Arkham City, and I just got to some that I just couldn't get, and the ones I couldn't get kept piling up, and I was like, okay, no, I'm done.
Apparently Arkham Knight has like a million.
It does.
I have
less fun.
I have the utmost respect for the Hidden Stars and Braid, but never want
yeah.
to see that ever in another game.
As a mandatory thing? Yeah.
Ever.
Get ready for the
That
witness.
Was the one and done.
Not even as optional? Like, completely
It was
optional
one and
stuff.
Done, and it worked in Braid, and I don't think it'll
the
work
anywhere
else. The
Stars and Braid are fucking crazy. I love them.
Because, like,
mad respect for that.
Do
like,
you
yeah.
have a wired controller?
Yeah, exactly.
Too bad.
Fuck you.
One example that I really like, and I mentioned it in the video, is that in No More Heroes, if you just... those are just like four treasure chests per boss dungeon. Those are not hidden. They're on the path.
But they are
and
missable.
Sometimes you just need to turn the camera from your starting position. It'll be right there. That's about as hidden as
yeah.
they get, right? And if you get every single...
In which game?
In No More Heroes 1,
yeah.
if you got all of them during that run,
mm-hmm.
then the set that repopulates all the levels in mm-hmm. your new game plus are the bits of concept art that when you look at them tell you stuff about bosses that you didn't
yeah,
know
details.
Otherwise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you'll know the ages of Shinobu, that like where this mm-hmm. guy is from. And that's like, concept art is usually very wishy-washy to me. Like sometimes I hate it.
Yeah,
like
definitely.
That's all you gave me? And most of the time, concept art is bad.
Yeah.
But that concept art is good because it shows how do beam katanas fucking work.
Definitely, like, that just reminded me, like, yeah, missable collectibles are the worst. When you have to do a perfect run through a game and get them all in one go.
Oh, no. Hey guys,
that.
Just... Okay, so well, here's the part of the FAQ for the water level. All right, before you start,
yeah.
you have to get this collectible from the bottom
or
left room of the water
that.
Level
because yeah.
you'll never be able to come back to this
Though,
part of the game.
Until dawn, it's like, yo, walk to the place. Walk away from where the camera's telling you to go find a totem.
And until dawn, they skirt around that. Because you can just go back to chapter select and it saves
until dawn
you
does
got.
It
yeah.
very well.
I'm talking about a game where
you can't chapter
no
select
way to
on
go
your
back.
First run. Can
no,
you?
Yes, you can.
Because
well,
I try.
Well, no. But are you saying you want to walk backward? Like
no. But
it's
like,
different. I'm saying. I'm saying.
It's
like,
only on your new game.
Until
plus
dawn has some of the best collectibles.
I'm saying.
Ever.
I'm saying in games where you get to the end.
Yeah.
Credits roll and
yeah.
you cannot do anything with your save file.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Like
that's
what I'm saying. That's
the absolute worst.
Chapter select fixes it, and like hard cold rule, like total hard rule. Don't. Fucking put a chapter-based game with collectibles if you're not going to have a goddamn collectible tracker next to the chapter select.
It was...
If I can't see that I've got every collectible
in
this
in
level,
that
fuck off. Mm. If I can't see that I'm missing the one from this level,
what was I playing
fuck
that
off.
Did There's... that really well that told me exactly what I was missing? Shit.
I think Tomb Raider did that. The new Tomb Raider... It has, like, trackers all over the goddamn place,
yeah.
I think.
You want to talk, like,
MGS5
horrible,
has
the Uncharted series tells you everything.
You
want to
talk
like,
about, like,
Dangan
this many in this
1 and
chapter,
2
like,
have free roam mode.
Yeah.
You know?
So the worst ever, the worst collectible quest that I can think of as of right now is in version 1.0 of Skyrim. There is the Stone of Ben-Zariah quest or whatever, which is finding these 29, like, amethyst diamonds. One of them is inside a main story mission that takes place where you infiltrate a mansion. It's the only time you can ever get into that mansion, and it's sitting on a fucking bookcase somewhere. There's no tracker. for these fucking things. It tells you how many you have, but there's no waypoint. There's no, like, follow-up
thing
to it. So if
you miss
it, if you miss it, not only will you miss it, until you look it up, you will never know.
Of course.
That that's where you missed it. And I don't know if any of you played Skyrim. That game is physically large in terms of
it's quite
area.
Big. It's quite big.
Fuck. So, they eventually patched it so that that stone would appear elsewhere in the game if you missed it or some bullshit. But fuck. Fuck.
You should
don't
never
do that.
Have been in there in the first place.
Design oversight. Like,
yeah.
That's just a straight up.
Oh, totally.
Up,
find all the dildos. We found them. No, you didn't.
No,
you
didn't. You
missed one of the dildos.
Okay, we got one coming in.
You
from
found it. You just left it.
Mike. Mike wants to know what's your favorite, like intro to a video version of yourself.
What?
Sorry.
Like, what's your favorite version of yourself that an artist renditioned for a game? You know what I mean? Like,
I like the No More Heroes 2 one a lot.
Yeah,
really
the one of you, me, and him.
Yeah.
That was really good.
I like
that
one
cool.
a lot.
Like, just you know, there's
one
different,
of our
different versions of us in the video intros. Like, what's your favorite, like,
you
cosplaying as a character?
We have an,
it's, I know what it is.
We have an upcoming one that
it's
has a fucking great intro, and I love
it's,
all
it's,
the characters.
It's me and the Shitstorm intro.
I don't know which one you
Shitstorm
mean.
Shitstorm
2? Shitstorm 4.
Shitstorm 4? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the really animated one?
Okay.
Yeah, the one that's going up on...
You're just talking about it.
Okay, sorry.
We didn't announce that yet.
Well,
sorry,
cat's out of the bag.
Stays away.
That's my favorite one.
Okay.
Like Plague,
so
I love Plague's little cameo in that.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it looks great.
The No More Heroes 2 is strong, and for
Matt's No More Heroes 2, like,
well, the,
no,
the thought of all three of us were Liam.
No, but
is,
Matt's No More Heroes 1, like,
yeah,
that was cool
like,
too.
That's the best.
Yeah.
We're
gonna guard and steal
back.
I get to be cool that often. I don't feel.
I'm a big fan of Guardian Wooly. That's really cool, too.
Guardian Wooly.
Well, Plague did a good version of you as Volgar the Barbarian. Remember we did that quick look of Volgar?
The Viking?
Did that? Yeah, the Viking.
Yeah.
Sorry, Volgar the Viking. Was... You see that's coming out on the Dreamcast?
Yeah.
Volgar the Adventurer.
I believe it's out right now.
I feel if we look over, like, my head on all these things. Like, it's my head put on someone's body, and I look worried or something on, like, 99%.
I think you look best in the Pat stares at Mercenary Kings one, where you just chopped up the one from
Crazy
Deception
art.
That I put together.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate
sure.
that.
Because I do a lot of this stuff with artists, and my head is like, oh
racing.
God,
you're racing.
There's so many, but
pick a good one.
But like
that's
the
a good one too.
The No More Heroes one. I mean, I feel like there's something that was really really good. But I don't know. Maybe
Freedom Planets was really good.
Freedom
too.
Planets
was
fun.
Planets
was
a lot.
That was fun stuff. Yeah. Okay, we got one coming in.
Oh God, no. I accidentally just clicked on the fucking MGS5 spoiler topic.
Oh jeez!
Don't look at it.
I was doing the thing where you go to scroll with your hand, but you were too slow, and you actually.
Oh fuck it! WrestleMania easily.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, there it is.
Yeah,
it's my WrestleMania Cactus Pat version.
Those are solid.
Easy.
Those are incredibly
solid.
Good.
I love my Edgelord, the Punishment.
Yeah. Alex wants to know bad video game OSTs. Liam, take it away. You've got this.
Bad video game OSTs?
Yeah, there's only one answer to this, and it's...
There's a lot.
But
Extreme Paint Brawl.
Beginning
Sonic,
to end.
Sonic Dark Brotherhood
DS is the correct
that
answer.
That one's like...
Yeah.
That one's a deep one.
You always talk about the Yoshi game like, that's on whatever.
It's, yeah, the one song from Yoshi's New Island.
It's just that one that's really
it's
bad?
Just that one
but, like,
song.
But that's the thing is like from a beginning to end full soundtrack, that Sonic game is the one
that
has
Sonic
the most consistent...
That Sonic game is on
this
another
is the worst
level.
Thing in the world to be a unquestioned expert on.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Liam, what are the worst soundtracks? Go... And you like there's a hurriedness to your voice.
Yeah, he's
like
got
you
it.
Can't
he knows. You know,
I feel
he knows.
For some reason, I don't have them.
I want to give a special shout out to the basement theme and Resident Evil Director's Cut.
The Resident Evil Director's Cut basement theme is like untouchable.
It's fitting that the man who wrote that music got caught up as a giant fucking fraud.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Oh, because I remember that story. Right.
And he said he was blind.
He outsourced it to a guy and said, "Yeah, I wrote this," and didn't listen
no,
to
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
and
yeah. Video games is Broadway musicals.
Oh well, Last of Us is the closest you'll ever see now.
Yeah,
unless you go to Japan, in which the Phoenix Wright musical.
I was going
to
say Phoenix
Wright
feels like the best.
No,
fit,
but I mean
they
in English,
did
like they did like
in
a
Japan.
Couple of those scenes.
Phoenix Wright.
It's
like that's the best thing you can do. It's too
hatred.
Too fitting. When's hatred?
You like
Because you weren't there, but it was at some con where everyone's like, we're in a room and everyone's like, well, what game should we play? And I was like, when's Hatred? And everyone like kind of turned at me like, what the fuck is this?
And we're like, just like, yeah, of course.
Keep that's what we because play. Years from now, that only gets richer.
Hatred. Yeah.
Yeah, I say
Beyond Two Souls.
Yeah, okay.
Indigo Prophecy. All day.
Fucking game Puppeteer.
That'd be amazing. I'd watch that. I would gladly watch that.
I would
watch.
Has anyone gotten like to see any part of those fucking Persona stage shows?
No.
Apparently, like the just you look at the costumes and you're just like
StarCraft.
There's on Danganronpa Broadway. One coming.
This is
coming.
Jimmy.
StarCraft.
Give me something to shoot. Yeah.
Nuclear strike detected.
Yeah.
Biocom. Modern.
Why would you do this?
My arm, my wife, which is it now?
This it's so easy. It's so easy.
I would love to see like
it would be a rap rock opera.
Why I used my bionic arm.
As like he gets wires stunted across the stage.
Yeah, like it would just use the Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, come on. Spencer. Spencer. Red.
We're all dancing around. It's Metal Gear Solid 1. That's the one.
Game over.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, yeah.
I still want Spider-Man 2 to make Spider-Man.
Snake.
Crawl on the ground like the snake you are. It's like it goes on and on. Like all that dialogue can just be
every
sung.
Yeah. Everything, absolutely.
A Russian
it's wolf.
Gunship.
What? Wolf?
What's a Russian gunship doing in Alaska?
it's
whose footprints are these?
Oh God! So you remember I made a comment about in one of the MGS5 parts in which like maybe we'll finally get to see how Liquid was able to shoot down those jets with a helicopter. So some military
guys sent me some
fucking articles
fucking awesome.
Describing how attack helicopters absolutely kick the shit
they have a good go.
It's 5-1.
It can happen.
Kill rate.
Mm-hmm. Well, in close range.
Yeah, exactly. So all you have to do is start your helicopter up when you're inside their missile range.
So my moment
never
of awakening.
Engage a helicopter at close range, even in a jet.
My moment of awakening on that was in the movie Black Hawk Down, when a fucking Mogadishu dude runs up with an RPG and shoots it, and it's like barely a couple yards from where the helicopter is.
And he goes,
and the helicopter deeks it like a punch, like an Ippo dodge.
Yeah.
It fucking Dempsey rolls the missile.
Crazy,
and it's like, how do you do that with a thing? An object,
it's like multi-track,
you know?
That guy trying to grab the rope didn't appreciate it.
It was insane. It was insane. Backflip dodge, fucking upside down.
Like, there's two streams of wind, and I'm catching them both.
I knew
to multi-wind drift.
I knew when that one would come, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I knew one would come.
He's reading his farmer's almanac and steering.
I used my Sharingan to see your RPG. I can see it!
Yeah,
I can see it!
It was the Byakugan. You're in the realm of my divinity. what's coming up? We already fucking spoiled it. You spoiled it, so.
Shitstorm 4.
Matt and Pat's
Scariness Marathon.
I was so happy to see that.
Is coming up
what
on
a fucking
Wednesday?
Good name.
Way to deliver. On October 1st.
Yeah. October 1st. That's the day that it starts.
Yeah. Guy Sihi approves of this name.
Guy Sihi approves.
I love that happened.
Yeah.
Now it's the
now it's real.
Otherwise, I guess all the LPs will carry on as usual.
Mm-hmm.
Mario Maker
Maker should be this weekend.
Yes. Festicus will continue as normal.
It shall.
So what are you guys
it's
looking
pretty
forward
normal.
To this week?
I'm looking forward to Dancing All Night. I'm gonna set my Vita TV back
so
up.
Strong.
Especially considering I haven't watched any of the trailers,
because
I don't want to know.
I've watched the final boss
fight. There's no
there's been so much, but there's just been so much footage of costumes and characters and releases. I want to appreciate it all when I get it.
Yeah, no, for sure.
That final boss fight, though. Yeah.
Is it what you think it should be?
What song do you think it is?
Well, not the song, but the boss itself.
Oh no, it's a totally unique thing.
Okay,
but it's the
but
song.
Is it the song?
It's the song that it should be.
Okay,
not the song that you think it should be. The song that it should actually should be.
Missed.
No,
I'm excited.
Okay.
I'm excited, but I remember reading and talking to Holly about it.
I'll hold out, I'll face out.
Yeah, okay.
I mentioned it to you in an airport one time, but I'm kind of bummed because I heard at the Japanese release that you have to play through like the vast majority of the game in order to get the hardest difficulty unlocked, and it's like, that's a bummer. That should be unlocked.
That's not what Liam wants.
That should be unlocked way earlier than that, so I hope that's not actually as bad as it sounds, but...
Oh, God, and I haven't had the remixes spoiled for me either. This is going to be so
good. There's a lot of songs, so expect
to. I've already listened to maybe 100 of those remixes, not from this, but from the fucking concerts and all those. Every remix of these tracks are amazing. The basis of these tracks are so good.
DLC tracks are
looking
good too.
Looking forward to finishing Undertale and seeing where that goes.
I'm going to keep hitting rocks.
I'm really looking forward to the Return of the King. Tony Hawk 5.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody?
Yep.
Yeah, totally.
It totally doesn't look like an embarrassing train wreck.
Hey, Lil Wayne's in there, man.
I'm an old man.
I'm a skateboarding mummy.
I can't wait.
Are you quoting Tony Hawk?
That's correct.
Or Lil Wayne, because he's also a skateboarding mummy.
Yeah, exactly.
I still remember back in the day when I was a child and Tony Hawk was the shit.
Yeah.
When it was a big fucking deal. It was like,
dude, someone
did you hear?
Up.
Tony Hawk's going to be on the Tom Green Show. Like, and then he was.
Someone pulled up game rankings and said the number one highest rated game was THPS2, and then THPS3 was the highest one on the PS2.
Accurate.
Yeah, it's accurate.
It's not going to fight it.
It's crazy. Like,
if more locations were still reviewing PS2 games at the time of its release, Persona 4 would have probably taken that title. But it came out like fucking 2008.
No, because like the penetration of the fucking Tony Hawk games was everyone you went to school with.
Yeah,
everyone.
Persona
everyone
is not
you know
that.
And your mom.
You know what I mean?
Not yet.
Fuck off.
Persona.
Also, Mega Man Legends coming out this week on PSN.
Finally!
Don't give them a chance to say it sold poorly. Just buy it.
But it's fucking Mega Man Legends. Twice.
Wooly, you've bitched about it. You have to buy it.
Do I have to play it? Too?
No. But anyone,
just don't give them a chance.
Anyone who has ever complained about the game not being available,
don't fail this
here
test.
Is your opportunity.
Don't fail the test.
Fine.
I'm also looking forward to whatever is happening to me on Sunday. I don't know what.
What are you talking about?
It's my bachelor party, and I don't know what to expect. I know that I have to get up at 9 and wear a blindfold.
You have to wear a blindfold to your bachelor
party? That's news.
And I also am not allowed pants for some reason. I don't know. I'm joking, obviously, but...
It'll probably be a good time.
I thought that was a reference to another thing that I don't know about.
No. Oh, wow. Okay.
You don't know. We don't know. Yeah. Why would you think we know? Call this number.
You guys, I'm not sure where to get the stuff that I need.
Yeah.
He told us where.
Yeah, where is that?
Google Maps will help.
Google
farms.
Maps will help me.
It's not anywhere close.
I prefer MapQuest.
That's a good one, too. Google Maps is the best.
Not that we have any stake in
that's
it.
That's true. Double true.
True that.
Double true.
God, that's what that's from.
Yes!
Is like, what is the
okay, no, this is my, it's my
this
favorite.
Like a month.
No, no.
Then,
stop.
No,
so hold on. No,
go,
no.
Because you go, that's a good one, too.
I've
but that's not how it sang
so,
the song. That's a good one, too.
It's less aggressive.
It's less aggressive.
It's less aggressive.
But it's more aggressive
now, here's
than
the
how
thing.
You've been doing
this
it.
This is why it's my favorite. I've been saying that's a good one, too, for literally years.
For a long, long
and
time.
And the only person, I never said where it was from, but the only person who got it was Pat about 1 month ago.
Yeah,
I
noticed, like... You
literally
would,
for years.
You would know that you had
done
an extra
a lot more recently
it.
And been adding extra.
Because now,
to
because
now
Pat got it
joke.
For
it's,
once, I would just laugh to myself.
Real.
But I'm like, and now that you know, it's like, yes, it's fucking
I
the chronic
know,
what kills of Narnia.
It's way more aggressive than how you've been doing
I'm
it.
I'm telling
so,
you.
No,
you can watch it right now.
He's been doing it.
I prefer MapQuest. That's a good one, too.
Google Maps is the best. True that. Double true.
It's the best.
That's that chronic what kills of Narnia. That's that
like,
chronic
that's
what?
Timely.
Chris Parnell is doomed to play pathetic fucks. I just saw the latest Rick and Morty.
Dude,
it's like,
but that's
it
what
hurts.
You need.
It
did you see?
So
did you see they're going to be making a VR game?
For what? Well,
Chris Parnell?
Rick and Morty?
The writers of Rick and Morty?
Oh, God.
Is it a Rick and Morty game?
No.
Just another thing?
They're going to be doing a VR game.
Fuck.
And, fuck, I forget who's developing it, but it's the guy you want.
Oh, that's going to be bad.
It's Lemon Grab.
That's going to be bad, man.
I was reading something. The guy who plays Rick and Morty in describing, like, here's how I act for Lemon Grab, he's like, I hate it. I hate it. It gives me a horrible headache and makes me want to throw up when I have to do Lemon Grab lines.
I remember he said that.
They're working with William Pugh, who made the Stanley Parable.
Oh. That's crazy.
It's the perfect team up.
Okay, it's an HTC Vive thing.
It's
okay.
The perfect team up.
That's a good one, too, I guess.
That's really interesting. Yeah. Hover Junkers.
No, that's another game.
Is another
that's
a different thing. Game, yeah. Co-partners with William Pugh, yeah.
It's fucking awesome. What team? What team, right?
You, dude, like, expect the horrors of my neighbor Sonic or whatever, my roommate Sonic.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Like,
that game didn't... I know it affected you
and
your bowels.
But imagine, but playing that with a headset on would fuck me
up. It'd be amazing.
I couldn't handle...
Oh, I can't wait. Farewell, real world.
Oh, my God.
Goodbye, real world.
Bye.
When are we going to get our Sword Art game? When's that happening? No, the real one.